Looks like you're out, Geldy. Better pray for a hockey season, baby, or it's going to be a long winter.
And kiss my rear end.
Finally got a call here. The number one rated Mo Howard and David in his own. At least according to my aspirations. Stay away from me. I don't even know how you have children. Miramar, hello.
Yes, I want your take on Jay Fiedler.
Oh, well, Jay Fiedler is a great quarterback and a good Jew.
I like Jay Fiedler.
Well, not to mention he's got extraordinarily smooth buttocks.
Oh, yeah!
You've got to be careful what you say here.
Okay, thank you, Mo.
No, wait a minute. Don't go.
But I have nothing else to say.
How about this? How's the weather down there in Miramar?
I'm right down the street from you. I have to go.
Oh, wait, by the way, something.
No, I have to go.
Look, I tell you what. I'll hold you over the break. How's that, huh? I'll give you one of my old tank T-shirts. How's that? No, wait! That was the only caller we had.
The veins on your nose is glowing again.
Wow!
You got big purple veins on your nose and on your face. And around those oozing pimples you call eye. You go look in the mirror, you'll see a roadmap of insolence. You got your hippies on, way too tight.
My nose glows when something stings. Almost every day I think. And my veins, they start to tickle. My adenoid, yeah, I look like a fool in a bag. That's because I'm a cranky old bag. Cause when I know that's filled with purple veins,
yeah,
it is something like that you want to see
on Science Channel Discovery.
My nose has a bleeding purple veins.
Greg hates you.
It's 10:03 at 560 WQAM. Happy Thursday to you at the QM Traveling Circus, where it never ends. Not one toe ever hits the ground. Wow, what a place. Anyway, we'll get to all of that chazarai that's going on around the station, most of which I should point out is fabricated, but nevertheless. We'd like to put on a good act for you. And Barry Jackass, of course, very willing. Hey, Barry, don't ever assume that whatever Greg tells you is the truth. You're just a pimp. You're just a mole. And you're just, you know, one of those quislings. That's your role in life. His role is a mole. Bad news.
Okay.
Well, we always get the death. Now, those two soldiers that died yesterday morning, that evidently wasn't important enough ever to make it into the news again. It did happen. But now there's all kinds of violence and bloodshed in Iraq. Insurgents launched, and again, that term insurgents, see? Right. That's a catch-all, insurgents. Oh, it must be Al-Qaeda. No. Insurgents launched coordinated attacks today against police and government buildings less than a week before the handover of sovereignty. 69 people, including three more American soldiers, were killed and more than 270 injured, Iraq and U.S. officials said. The large number of attacks, mostly directed at Iraqi security services, could signal the beginning of a push by insurgents to torpedo the June 30th power transfer. In Baghdad, the health ministry said at least 66 people were killed and 268 injured nationwide. However, the figures did not include U.S. dead and injured. So at least five more U.S. soldiers killed in the last 2 days, and the madness, the bloodshed, and insanity continues. Anyway, on a brighter note, we got Rene Russo on our Behind the Beaded Curtain thing today.
That is brighter.
Yeah, it's a good picture. Thank goodness it's an old picture from back right in the day when she looked not too bad.
An old picture of the young Rene Russo.
Right, because frankly, she's an old bag. She was born February 17, 1954 in Burbank, California. And then there's a whole deal here. She grew up on the wrong side of the tracks in Burbank, but we don't have time to apotsky around with that. It's been in a million movies, Big Trouble, in 2002, Showtime, The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Thomas Crown Affair, Lethal Weapon 4, Buddy, Ransom, Tin Cup, Get Shorty, Get George Schulte, Outbreak, Major League 2, In Line of Fire, Lethal Weapon 3, Free Jack, One Good Cop, and a whole bunch of other stuff. She's been in a zillion movies. Everybody knows Renee Russo, and once you take a look at her, you'll say, oh, yeah, she used to look pretty good a long time ago. Huh?
I said, how you doing?
Renee. Here's yesterday's poll result, 1,535 votes, which, and you're right, you were right, I'm shocked, even with all the time that he had to catch up. I guess those bad knees must be doing it to O.J. He just couldn't catch up to Dennis Miller.
Limping, gimping along.
Which of these people best fits this description? Somebody famous you used to like, but now you hate him like poison. Poison! Dennis Miller. I'll be honest with you, I never liked him in the first place, so I can't really say.
Adequate, like, you know, the Saturday Night Live news.
No, I never thought he was funny. I thought he was, like, just so low-key as to be coma-inducing. I mean, I didn't dislike him, but I didn't like him. Anyway, 356 people did like him once upon a time, and now they hate him like poison. He wins the thing, 356. O.J., though, made a good run at it, especially with those arching legs. 321 for O.J. for the double-murdering assassin who lives in Kendall and whose daughter hates him like poison. Phil Henry, 268.
Are you sure?
Pretty strong third there for Phil, who used to be one of our favorite people and quickly turned on a dime into a right-wing lickhole. Ralph Nader, 121, a doddering old egotistical fool who just won't take
no
for an answer. And the word is now that that Black Caucus meeting the other day, there was screaming and gnashing and carrying on Tuesday, the likes of which... Oh, and speaking about Tuesday when they had that vote in the Senate, 99-1?
Yeah.
On the in Senate indecency bill for broadcast... I forgot to mention yesterday, since we don't try to make any excuses for Herman Munster. John Kerry, of course, was one of those 99 quislings, those cowards that said, oh, sure, we'll go along with it. How sad.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Geldy Geldstein comes in a moderate fifth here with 88 votes.
Ow!
You're the odd man out. We'll get to that momentarily, Geldy. That, I think, is the only part of that story that really has got any legs to it, if I can say that. You're going to be out pretty soon, so enjoy that 8 to 10 slot while you can. Because it's only very temporary, rhymes with Mary. And Colin Powell, 84, right on Geldy's ass. Roland Colin. You know, if he says it, it must be a lie. Todd Schmidt, the Schnittmeister, 42. Jerry Lewis had 40. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 32. Deion Sanders, 31. Fred Durst, 29. A lot of people think Fred Durst is the worst. Phil Jackson, 23. Mr. Ego, Steve Kane, 22, which sounds like about half of his audience. Elton John, 16. Now, why don't we like him now?
His songs are bad now.
Well, does that mean we don't like him? We just turned on him because he made so many good ones?
Right.
Right?
I like him then. Not now.
But you don't hate him now like
no,
poison.
No, I don't want anything bad to happen to him.
Necessarily. Dick Morris, 15. John McCain, 13. Bobby Novak, 13, who ought to be on death row right now. Pat Riley, 9. Tom Jicka, 7. Poor little Tom. It's not personal, Tom. It's business. They hate you like poison because you just absolutely refuse to get in touch with the reality of what's going on in this business. And you write all those puff pieces about the TV shows, which any idiot can write that crap. And Dave O'Brien, 5, the former voice of the Marlins, who screwed over his good buddy Joe Angel and then said, oh, I'm leaving, by the way. One of those kind of guys. Now, I just heard the ass end of my good friend Moe's show, and I got some bad news, those who are waiting for me to come back to town and consort with my good best personal friend, the Momeister.
Absolutely.
He told George in the hallway that we will not be doing any tongue action, no kissing on the lips. Well, the fact that there won't be any kissing on the lips doesn't necessarily mean there won't be any tongue action.
It
just won't be on the lips.
There you go. And you can nuzzle.
And hug.
Right.
Cuddle.
Sure. Spoon.
Bond. But I don't think so. I might yank off his hairpiece, but that's about it. But at any rate, I just heard the ass end of his show, and he said, Neil, you don't have to worry about any material for today because Greg Reed, once again, makes the whole show for you. Greg Reed is just beyond description.
Greg hates you.
Yeah. Greg, all I can tell you, man, is you are a real idiot. That's all I can say to you, man. And, of course, basically what you've got here is an overgrown child, a sports nerd, a child.
I have no life.
Who has got an ego bigger than the entire universe. I mean, just out-of-control ego. So, therefore, he just sits with his little spoons pounding on the table, wanting attention, kind of like, what's his name in the Cuckoo's Nest? What was his name?
Cheswick.
Rest in peace.
I want attention!
In fact, he reminds me a little bit of somebody like that used to, like, go in a corner and cry if he didn't get enough attention when he showed up at our appearances. He wants attention. He wants everybody to take a look at him and how he's a big shot, and he's got to decide this, and he's got to decide that, and he's going to drag all of these people through all of this crap in Barry Jackass's column in the Herald, because Barry is a quisling, and he'll write any damn thing that Greg tells him. Hey, Greg, if you want to find out who the mole is, just look in the mirror. I mean, Bela Lugosi ain't using them these days, so look in the mirror that he left behind and take a look. There's the mole for you, okay? A big pus-filled, it's not a boil, it's not a tumor, it's a mole.
It's a tumor.
Right. I think I'm going to do the break first, because then we'll get into the Barry Jackson column, which I'll read. It's not that long, but I do like the last part of it, though.
Ow!
The last sentence is so juicy, man. Ow! Even juicier than my boil. And by the way, it was a boil. It's healing up beautifully for those who care, and I think I did a masterful job with that pin. Man, oh, man, it was just a one hell of an operation. Nasty, smelly, oozy, but I'd done a good job. Dr. Neil, the doctor's in. Let's do the break. As a matter of fact, but maybe we'll do all the breaks right at once just in case the audio vault craps out again.
You never know.
Thanks for the great equipment, too, by the way, Greg, down there. The good equipment is all here. We're not letting any of you have it. That's probably why Yelton wanted to break in here over last week while I was on vacation. He probably wanted to ship back down there a bunch of the good stuff from here. No chance, fix it. Go fix something else. Get lost. 11 past 10 at 560 WQM Circus. Emerald Coast, South Florida's best Asian buffet is still going strong. Now, that guy that called in yesterday who didn't said it wasn't up to snuff, it must have been him. Maybe his taste buds were off that day. I've never had anybody who didn't rave about the great food. I've eaten there a zillion times, and once you go there the first time, you'll go back again and again for a real feast. Emerald Coast offers you sensational mouth-watering dishes. Everything is fresh and delish. Start with fantastic soups, six different ones. Dozens of succulent entrees like New York strip made to order at their sizzling Asian grill, along with their brand-new Hunan fish. Maine lobster thermidor style. There's Jonah crab, oysters on a half shell. There's hand-carved prime rib cooked exactly the way you like it. Brand new Thai specialties, too. A full salad bar, a full Chinese food lineup. Their brand new sushi bar, and of course, fresh cocktail. And don't forget, no MSG headaches when you leave the Emerald Coast. Just a big fat smile on your puss, on your big fat puppet, because they don't use any MSG. They don't use any cornstarch. They don't cook with any garbage. They use only the finest ingredients, including even cholesterol-free oils. And if you have any room after a feast like this, which means you're a real pig, but why the hell, why not go for it? They got a full dessert station featuring Belgian waffles, pies, cakes, pastries, ice cream with all your favorite toppings and fresh fruit, too. The perfect end to a big pig out. Emerald Coast, three locations for you. Have you ever noticed that when you go to a place like this, there's always a big, big, humongous guy standing right in the middle? And then a whole bunch of them following, waiting online. Huge guys. Three locations for you, Pembroke Pines, Sunny Isles, and Sunrise. So take the whole family or book your next business luncheon right now. Take out Livio available, too. They were voted number one by Zagat Restaurant Reviews and WSVN News as South Florida's best Asian buffet, and they are absolutely correct about that. Call now to inquire about Emerald Coast's birthday opportunities. Call 954-572-3822. 954-572-3822 for the world-flaming Emerald Coast Chinese Buffet.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio's all yours.
QAM.
Suck it in and hold it.
What the are you eating?
This here's Deadwood sausage, made fresh by the Chinaman.
Is it good?
I like it so much, I'm gonna kill you. Ow! Another wetting band.
Deadwood sausage is made from 100% human-fed pork for down-home freshness.
Throw them in there.
A delicious treat for the whole family. Made from people by people who ship direct to your grocer's freezer for people like you. Deadwood sausage. Dirty people, good food.
1017 at 560 WQM. The Supreme Court, the fascist on the Supreme Court, voted 7-2 that Dick Cheney doesn't have to turn over his energy task force records, those confidential records. He don't have to turn them over.
Yeah,
as long as he goes hunting with Judge Scalia again and lets him get all the birds.
Right.
Joe Rose taking, and also the death toll in Iraq is now up to 83. It's massive bloodshed and violence and hundreds injured and 83 dead already. Today's only the 24th. We got 6 days to go until the big turnover, the big turnaround, the big handoff, the big walk-off. Speaking of walking off, Joe Rose taking week off, WQM Future Up in the Air, another insipid column by Barry Jackass in the unctuous Miami Herald this morning. As a matter of fact, when I heard Mo make that comment at the end of the show about, well, Greg Reed took care of your whole show today, which, of course, he did not, but nevertheless, certainly the beginning part here. You know what I immediately did?
Picked up a newspaper.
No, I didn't pick it up. I went to the Miami Herald website, and I typed in Barry Jackass. And sure enough, see, my computer's programmed to go to the, when I type in Barry Jackass, they knew who I'm talking about. The brown bag kid. Hey, by the way, is mommy still packing you good lunch, Barry?
Ow!
Ever see Barry and Gildy together?
No.
Same person. Anyway, Joe Rose taking week off, WQM future up in the air. I don't think just Joe Rose's future, I think the whole radio station up in the air when Greg is at the helm. A manifestly, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts walking around in the hallway like Humphrey Bogart in Canine Mutiny, rolling them steel balls. A crazy person. There you go, Greg. In the latest installment of WQM's never-ending soap opera, morning host Joe Rose said Wednesday he's frustrated that general manager Greg Reed hasn't made time to meet with him and doesn't know if he wants to return to the station. How do you like that?
Oh, my God.
Meantime, Reed said he hasn't decided if Rose will be invited back. Now, all of that is bullcrap, because the rumors I'm hearing from all around the building is that Joe was had his meeting yesterday and he'll be back this weekend. But nevertheless, just pretend I didn't say that, okay?
Oh, say what?
Because whatever you thought I said, because it's much more exciting to have Barry writing all of this melodramatic crap. Rose, the lead sportscaster at NBC6, is taking this week off from WQM and said he's been working without a contract for 8 months since replacing the fired Scott Farrell. That was the beginning of the end, as far as we're all concerned.
Yeah.
Thanks for really creating a nightmare, although he wasn't the only. He said he's been trying to meet with Reed to get his situation clarified and determine the direction of the station. He also wants to know if he'll continue to work alone on his 8 to 10 a.m. show or be paired with someone such as Steve Geldy-Geldstein.
No.
The GM doesn't have time to talk to me, Rose said. Reed continues to mull what to do with his morning lineup, keeping in mind, of course, that this is the guy that broke the egg 2.5 years ago. Destroyed it, and now he can't put the pieces. He's the Humpty Dumpty of radio. Can't put the pieces of the egg back together again, can you, Greg?
No.
He said he's still considering picking up Howard Stern's syndicated show, but that would leave the station vulnerable to potential FCC fines. Airing Stern's show might also be poorly received by Dolphins management. Let me tell you right now, boys and girls, the chances of Howard Stern being on this radio station on the scale of minus infinity are less than that. Whatever is less than minus infinity, and I'm not talking about infinity broadcasting, that's the chances of Howard Stern being on this station. None. None. Less than none. In fact, the chances of Howard Stern being back out in this market are none, much less than none, and much, 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 much less than none. I'm not saying that's my choice, but that's just the truth. Now, if you can't handle the truth, go see Jack Nicholson. He'll straighten your ass out. Now, here comes my favorite part of the whole story, Barry. You finally did something good, sweetheart. By the way, do you think Barry Jackson has a penis? I really doubt it.
Well, you go check.
No, God, no. When I saw him at the airport here a few years ago, and he like kind of, you know who I am? I said, no, I'm Barry Jackson. Oh, great. And I thought to myself, yeah, you look like Barry Jackson. You look like the ultimate nebbish. Where's the brown bag, Barry?
Yeah, a lot of the things you say about me are true.
Oh, man. Putz! If you look up Putz in the dictionary, you'll see Barry Jackass's picture next to it. What a match made in heaven, man. Greg Reed and Barry Jackass. Wow. Anyway, here's my favorite part of the whole story. It's coming to an end right now. Because Goldstein will be doing Panthers radio play-by-play next season, Reed said he's not sure whether he wants to continue using him on a talk show. And here's the best of the whole deal. Howard Davidson and Goldstein, paired on the 5 to 8 a.m. show, are not expected to continue working together long term. What a surprise. Let me read that last sentence again, because it gives me a quiver in my
rectum
when I read it. Howard Davidson and Goldstein, paired on the 5 to 8 a.m. show, are not expected to continue working together long term. That's the understatement of the of all time. Wow. How do you like that?
Well, it speaks for itself.
Yeah, it sure does. This whole place speaks for itself. Here's today's poll. I almost forgot about that. Well, we got so much crap going on. Then when I read these damn liners that Clarence sent me here, once I read these two or three times, it'll be time to go home already. Good golly. All of this trash, all of this swill, just time-consuming garbage. If you miss QAM's coverage of the NHL entry draft this Saturday, you might miss a chance to win an autographed Roberto Luongo jersey and Luongo's best 13-game season ticket plan for two in the lower bowl. Oh, this is another scam. This is another one of those Panther deals. To register, log on to WQM.com, then listen to QM's NHL entry draft coverage this Saturday from 11:30 to 2 with Squeaky.
Ow!
For your name to be announced as the grand prize winner. Wow, I can't wait. Too bad we don't have Rimmer to be doing that. Of course, he's hightailed it out of town. Nice going, Rimmer. Good choice. But we got Geldy. We got Squeaky there to handle it. Do we have Jugs McDonald?
No.
No, we got Squeaky and the Clown. It is a circus, you know what? Squeaky and the Clown, Randy Moeller, who, of course, is the communications director of the whatever the hell that means. It's just such a silly place. Here's the poll today. What current American political figure has the biggest pair of cojones? I say cojones because we have a lot of glam. Cojones. I got Howard Dean was my choice.
Yeah, well.
Well, I don't have too many others to put on there.
Right. How,
well, political figure. Do we want to put Michael Moore on there with a movie coming out tomorrow? I guess we do, because even though he's not a politician, that's right. Why I worded it that way, to leave an opening for Fat Mike.
There you go.
Because he's certainly a political figure. He may say bella figura.
Right. What
a big bella figura. So we'll put Michael Moore on there, at least Josh will, if he knows what's good for him. So that takes care of that. That's your poll, and maybe we may not have a lot of names on there. Well, you got to have somebody. It sure is hell ain't going to be scary John Kerry after caving in. I realized that it was tacked out of the Defense Appropriations Bill, but nevertheless, as a matter of fact, speaking of that bill, Representative Joe, and the idea that Howard Stern is going to be on this radio station, especially with other tourists that we have coming that you don't know about yet, but that idea is so ludicrous, especially in light of these increased fines, which it's not finalized yet, but it will be. You can take that to the bank. You can bet Greg's life on it.
Not finalized?
Representative Joe Barton.
Oh, we're fine.
The chairman of the House Commerce Committee said yesterday that amendments that would increase to $275,000 the maximum fine the FCC can levy for an individual violation of its broadcast indecency rules, and additionally invalidate the FCC's June 2003 media ownership rules, were diluted. You must be deluded. Because they were diluted. As a result, the House will likely refuse to accept the amendments in their present form. They watered down the bill, and then they added some things that were extraneous, Barton told Reuters. I don't think the House will accept what the Senate did, quite honestly, but we certainly want to have a positive dialogue with them. We'll just work with them and see what we can do. Barton also said he doubts the House will consider the amendments as part of the Department of Defense budget reauthorization bill. The House has approved legislation that will raise FCC fines to as much as $500,000 for each violation. The FCC would also be forced to consider a license revocation hearing for a station after three violations of the commission's indecency rules. Now, to give you an idea, let's just say that, I mean, at the moment, we can still say that. That's one of the 10 words we still can say. Remember, it used to be 7 words we couldn't say?
Right.
Now there's 10 words we can say.
A.
B.
That's it.
So anyway, we can still say
crap.
But let's just assume that they decide, oh, you can't say crap. Just for fun, let's say that. Okay, so let's...
Crap.
So there's $2.5 million right there.
Crap.
There's $3 million.
Crap.
$3.5 million.
Crap.
$4 million.
Crap.
$4.5 million.
Crap.
$5 million right there. In how many seconds? In about 10 seconds or less. $5 million right down the tubes. Even the Beasleys, I don't think, can handle that kind of punishment. Do you? You think so?
No.
So the idea that we're going to put anything controversial on here, I mean, if we give sport, and as a matter of fact, we're going to be so nervous from here on in once they finalize this bill and your president signs it. That at that point, we're just going to give the scores. Not even the names of the teams, because like if we said Devil Rays, the Marlins beat the Devil Rays, that's bad.
Right.
And I do want to apologize to the Marlin organization, because yesterday with that guy that called about the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, and I was talking about the Bucks won the Super Bowl and the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. But, of course, the Marlins have won 2 World Series in the last 7 years, and they beat and ended Tampa's winning streak yesterday at a dozen. Isn't that right, Josh? Yes, it is. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And just checking, just making sure that I'm on the right page with Mo Vaughn and all these other sports experts we got.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Ow!
Geldy, talking on a sports show, trying to be macho. Your voice sounds just like a 7-year-old girl, a little sports hoe shill.
Yes.
What else are you there for? Geldy.
Ah!
Talking like a baby who needs a little training. Why can't you understand? You don't sound like a man. Remove the rubber bands. that choke your scrotum, Delby, Delby, Delby. Delby, your lucky management don't care, 'cause Delby, you don't belong there on the air. And Delby, those sports can wait till your voice cracks, 'cause anyone who sounds like that should find another job. And they should only take you back when both your BBs drop.
Absolutely.
Oh, Geldy, Geldy, when you gonna grow up? You make us wanna throw up. You silly squeaky fool, go to broadcasting school. Your prepubescent voice makes you sound like a putz. You're a putz. You're a
cuss.
I'm dying over here.
You're the odd man out, Geldy. Make no mistake
you're
about that. Mo ain't going to work with you, my good buddy Mo. He will have nothing to do with you at this point. And certainly Joe don't want you on there. It's probably why he walked out this week. He's probably not too happy that you're even filling in during those 2 hours. You know, it's really amazing the lengths that the talking head networks go to distort and twist and manipulate the news. This story that they just had on there breathlessly on CNN, breaking news, the Supreme Court totally misrepresented the story. Here's what the Associated Press says. The Supreme Court refused today to order the Bush administration to make public secret details of Vice President Dick Cheney's energy task force, but kept the case alive by sending it back to a lower court. Justices said by a 7-2 vote that a lower court should consider whether a federal open government law could be used to get documents of the task force. The decision extends the legal fight over the information. Justices could have allowed a judge to immediately move ahead with ordering the release of the papers. The issues in the case have been overshadowed by conflict of interest questions about one judge, meaning Scalia, of course, we all know about him, who likes to play golf with the vice president and go duck hunting and things like that. So how do you like that? So CNN totally misrepresenting what they said. Just like somebody else we know totally yesterday misrepresenting the sales of the Clinton book. I don't want to pick on your good friend Miss Fudge, who's just a limo driver today, thank you, with a silly hat, Walter Winchell wannabe. To me, he seemed more like a Freaky Carlos wannabe, if you ask me. At any rate, yesterday's got all the... Oh, the book! And after I ripped him on the air, then he puts a little blurb on there. Oh, well, CNN, here's the link to the CNN story about how the book is breaking all records. And then he puts, but sales not too big in Altoona, not really setting the world on fire in Geneva, New York, not killing him in Ypsilanti, not knocking him dead in Dubuque. Man, oh man, you silly, screaming, self-hating faggot, you, man. It's just pathetic. I notice all of that stuff has disappeared now that this story is out today. As in the truth. You know, Mo's got his thumb right on that.
Absolutely.
You want the truth, come to this show. You want bullcrap, go to the Fudge Report. Go to Geldy. Go to one of those silly-ass shows where they just make up a bunch of crap to try to get attention, like a bunch of little kids in a sandbox. Bill Clinton's memoir, My Life, set a record for first-day nonfiction sales with 400,000 copies bought in the U.S., the former president's publisher said, yesterday. With Clinton's 957-page tome selling so well on its first day, publisher Alfred A. Knopf said it's ordered another 725,000 copies from printers in addition to an initial print of 1.5 million copies. They're selling them like halava in Jerusalem, man. They're selling them like Lockies in Manhattan. This is a record-breaking number for a work of nonfiction, said Sonny Mehta, president of Knopf Publishing Group, adding that sales were exceedingly strong in other countries, too, eh? I'm going to have to check that out. In addition to the book sales,
I heard he wasn't doing so well in Somalia.
I heard that in Mississauga it ain't selling at all. That's what Don Cherry told me, another redneck.
And in Chechnya?
In addition to the book sales, Knopf said Clinton racked up first-day audiobook sales of 35,000. My Life was published on Tuesday amid a media blitz which saw Clinton give several high-profile TV interviews appear on the coverage of Time magazine, while the first review of the book from the New York Times called the memoir sloppy, self-indulgent, often eye-crossingly dull. Reviews on Wednesday were mixed. The book is messy and long-winded. Clinton dodges enough questions to raise his detractors' blood pressure into stroke range. I like that. Maybe they should all have, all those right-wingers could all have a stroke, to which we would say,
all right.
Yeah. There's enough policy wonkiness and political minutia to set half the planet a snore, the Detroit Free Press wrote, but there's a wonderful naturalist to Clinton's writing in My Life and enough insights into this puzzling man that's well worth plunking the $35 down, the newspaper said. The Times of London was less forgiving. Anyone who buys my life for their own holiday is going to be as disappointed as Monica Lewinsky, the newspaper wrote. Only in the pre-publication interviews does he even explain in the now famous phrase that he had sex with his intern because he could. Clinton reportedly was paid $10 million advance by now. See, that's the only thing they want to talk to him about is Monica Lewinsky in a blue dress and the jobs and that stuff.
Well, what else is there?
Oh, I see. Good point. That's like Geldy. What else is there beside that squeaky voice? Jerry in Bonita Springs says, after my last donation to the Carey Fund, I received a newsletter to let me know that they're having Carey house parties across the U.S. They had a place to check where the closest one was to me. You could check 1, 3, 5, 10, or 25 miles. I checked them all. There's not one Carey house party within 25 miles of my zip code. Well, maybe you can go to the Art Linkletter house party instead. I know you often don't like articles faxed to you. I'm sure you didn't read this one. It was an editorial today's Fort Myers News Press. No, Jerry, that one doesn't get around here. This was brave thing for this newspaper to do since we live in this large Republican stronghold. Sometimes I feel so alone here, says poor Jerry in old rednecky Bonita Springs. Now, did you actually fax me the story, or is this something else?
That's all I got from
you. Because I got all these priest stories from you again. You continue trying to, like, poison the minds of the audience out there. I'm going to have to stick that William Donahue guy on you if you don't watch it.
Oh, man, I'd love some time.
Where that evil looking, you know, in fact, he belongs in South Florida because he's got that hateful look in his eyes, you know.
I would love to get
always
with him.
Pissed off and fired up. WQAM, hello. QAM. WQAM, hello.
You going to be reading all day again?
Yes. WQAM, hello.
Hey, hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, do you know the name of the song at the end of Michael Moore's trailer?
The name of the song. This is kind of like the name of the doctor who operated on Jay Fiedler's rib. The name of the song. we'll find out.
Hey, one other thing.
Yeah.
I saw Joe Rose at Char Hut this weekend.
Yeah.
Man, does he have big boobies.
Yeah, he does. He brags about those. In fact, that's why Geldy wants to be on with him.
I tried to grab him.
I'll bet you did. That's why he's not on this week. He's in rehab. Anyway, the Samoan government, prompted by a Dallas Morning News investigation, is moving to deport a fugitive Catholic priest because he failed to disclose his conviction in a previous child molestation case when entering the country. The priest appears in the Salesians of Don Bosco religious order. Don Bosco, wasn't he like with Johnny Depp in that? Also facing immigration inquiry because they too failed to make the same disclosures, said Osibega Polema Komiti. I wonder what committee he's the head of, the senior advisor to Samoa's prime minister and cabinet. Those Samoans, man, they all look like that? They all big and fat?
Yeah. Well, all of them, just a lot of them.
Well, what do they eat?
Obviously a lot. Everything they can.
Probably a lot of
crap.
Oh, there's another half million. A 63-year-old Catholic priest, the Reverend Thomas Kuhn, pleaded no. I wonder if he's related to Mark Kuhn, who used to be the PD at WYNC. What a wimpy. Remember him? He was there that night. We had the big thing with Walter Sabo,
the
Paxson seminar.
Cool. Yes.
And there was Mark Kuhn. He was still shaking. He shook my hand, and he was shaking. He was shaking everything he could get his hand on. You're a real wimp, Mark. Anyway, the Reverend Thomas Kuhn, Dayton, Ohio, pleaded no contest, convicted yesterday on 11 misdemeanor charges of public indecency and providing alcohol to minors. Former pastor of St. Henry Catholic Church in Miami Township, that's Miami, Ohio, was convicted of one count of public indecency, six counts of furnishing alcohol to minors, and four counts of allowing minors to possess or consume alcohol on his premises. The offenses occurred at Kuhn's home between November 2001 and January 2002. Is there got any of the good stuff in here, or is that it? That's it. So another bad priest. What a shock.
This is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
10:47, Bill O'Brien tells us that Alvin Lee, 10 years after, is the... we better hear it, though, for ourselves, just to be sure.
You can make people do anything if they're afraid.
FAA has taken the action to close all of the airports in the United States.
All commercial and airline traffic was grounded.
But we had some airplanes authorized at the highest levels of our government to pick up Osama bin Laden's family members and transport them out of this country.
In the middle of the war, corporations decided to hold a conference to figure out how much money could be made.
Once that oil starts flowing, it's going to be lots of money. Whatever it costs, the government will pay you.
It's going to be good for business, bad for the people.
Congressman, trying to get members of Congress to get their kids to enlist in the Army and go over to Iraq.
The USA Patriot Act allows for searches of medical and financial records.
It gives law enforcement almost unlimited power.
They wait till the middle of the night. It's printed in the middle of the night.
How could Congress pass this Patriot Act without even reading it?
Sit down, my son. Well, we don't read most of the bills.
No one read it.
Members of Congress, this is Michael Moore. I would like to read to you the USA Patriot Act.
Let the eagle soar.
From the corridors of power.
Congressman?
Congressman? To the streets of small town America. To the front lines.
This is an impressive crowd, the haves and the have mores. Some people call you the elite. I call you my base.
Comes the true story that will make your temperature rise.
I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive.
After by Alvin Lee, but you don't have to wait 10 years to see the movie. It'll be out tomorrow at a theater near you, Fahrenheit 9/11. And then all the right wingers can, well, it was so unfair. It was so one-sided. Yeah, just like Fox News. Join the Real Yellow Pages from Bell South and QAM noon to 1 today at Majestic Locksmith. All right. Located at 1860 West 60th Street in Hialeah. Stop by to pick up a pair of tickets to tonight's Marlins Braves game or a VIP pass to tonight's NBA draft party at the AAA at the Mickey Arison Mayor Penis Pequena Arena. Now, this thing that you faxed me, this is so silly. I mean, it's correct, but it's just the idea that we're going to, like, promote this. The president needs to hear from millions of concerned Americans about the change of policy on Canadian drugs and yada, yada, yada. And then the best part of that sentence is, and to start managing the situation with the benefit of U.S. consumers in mind. Right! In other words, forget those big pharmaceutical companies that are giving millions and millions to the politicians, including El Presidente. Forget about them. Let's take care of the small people. What do you say?
No.
Of us.
No.
The people,
no,
the public,
no,
the taxpayers,
no,
the voters.
No, no.
Sorry we got carried away. We thought maybe Gildy might be coming back. Speaking of people that are getting a little carried away, Ronnie Reagan, I saw him on there yesterday channel surfing. I was on about 4 seconds, and I saw that pathetic, silly queen.
On there with Hunchback?
With the Hunchback. And I said, well, I don't know. Do I really want to watch this? Then I thought, well, it depends on whether I had that much time. And I didn't, because I was moving that channel, that thing, real fast. Ron Reagan, the younger son of the late President Reagan, criticized the Bush administration's foreign policy, saying he believed the president misled Americans to gain support for the Iraq War. That's what the ballet dancer said. We lied our way into the war, he said on Larry King last night, referring to allegations that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and direct connections to Al-Qaeda. It's a terrible mistake, a terrible foreign policy error, and he's absolutely right. But that little ballet dancer that looks like that, do you think he's got any credibility?
No.
Oh. Reagan, 46, a vocal opponent of his father's conservative politics, said he would vote for anyone who could beat the current president. Now we're talking, Ronnie. Maybe I can even fix him up with Mo. Reagan also said he was angered over the administration's opposition to human embryonic stem cell research. It's shameful, he said. We're not talking about fetuses. Human beings are being killed. We're talking about collections of cells in a petri dish that are never, ever going to be a human being, kind of like his father. Reagan said he expected his mother to continue to speak out in favor of stem cell research. Nancy Reagan has long argued that such work would lead to cures for a number of diseases, like the Alzheimer's disease that killed her husband, Ronnie Reagan. How do you like that? Ron Jr., the ballet dancer, is opening up a big push. Isn't that great?
Yeah, he's going to change everything now.
And we got 48 votes on the poll there. Not too many because we only have two choices. But that's okay. I mean, if the audience would ever add some more on there, they're worth not. Maybe that's the only two that got any balls. What current American political figure has got the biggest pair of cojones? 48 votes. Michael Moore, that's what I voted. Even though I put Howard Dean on there first. I voted for old fat Michael Moore. He's got 43, and poor little Howard Dean has only got 5.
Ow!
Maybe we'll add some names to the list. What do you think?
I doubt it.
Why is that?
What else?
There's got to be somebody out there. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Listen, I think the Democrats are wasting their time running against Bush because I just started an office poll. And he's going to get reelected because he's going to be an American hero soon. And the reason I say that is because I started a poll in the month of October, when are we going to find Osama bin Laden? I think they know where he's at. And you know, and if he's doing real bad in the polls, he's going to go over and capture him and be a big hero for the Americans. And all the people are going to go, oh, he's our hero. He got captured the guy that, you know, started this 9/11 stuff.
Anyway, you know, we might put John McCain on this list, but I don't think so because he tends to waffle. In fact, you know that spot he's got where they remove the tumor from his cheek?
Yeah.
If you poke him in the cheek, he goes,
waffle, waffle, waffle.
Like that. He's a waffler. That's the truth. That's what Geldy told
waffle,
me.
Waffle, waffle, waffle. Ow! Waffle, waffle, waffle.
At any rate. Well, it's better than hear what this last guy was babbling. God almighty, some of you people, it makes me just wonder, how do these people get through school, or do they just skip school all their life?
Well, the Florida school system graduates anybody, don't you know?
Well, what do you mean the Florida school system, the American school system?
To a lesser degree.
It
sure.
is, really. No, it's all a matter of degrees. You can't complain about education in America, because generally speaking, there ain't any. There do not be none. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I got somebody for your poll.
All right.
How about Jenna Reno? She's got hairy ones.
She's got a big pair. All right, let's get Jenna Reno on there. Big old dykey Janet. She had the cojones to stand up to those crazy, rambling lunatics
Incredible.
Over there in Little Havana. Screaming and carrying on and the fishermen and all of that crap. Nice going. You go, boy. Good old Jenna Reno. As a matter of fact, that was going to be our poll question. I thought better of it. What is which Attorney General, Kenneth Masmacho, former U.S. Attorney General Janet Reno, or Florida Attorney General Charlie Crist? But then Mark Foley is busy. He's doing an interview, so I couldn't get the answer from Mark. Come out, Mark, wherever you are. You and Charlie Crist, all the other closet queens. Maybe Miss Fudge can have a big party for you, okay? A big affair. What do we got here? For the poll, how about Russ Feingold? Yeah, he's good. I'm disappointed in his vote the other day, but nevertheless, Russ Feingold's got a big pair. The only U.S. senator to vote against the Patriot Act in every segment of the Iraq War, not to mention his co-sponsoring the campaign finance reform bill. Thank you so much, Tim. An excellent choice. Russ Feingold, you got it?
We got it.
From Wisconsin, in the great state of Wisconsin. I don't know what's so great about it. Other than they got a lot of beer, and what can
cheese.
Be all bad about that?
A lot of cheese,
beer and Nazis,
they?
What a great combination, right?
Sure.
Oh, this is good. You get
you
the mood for the movie tomorrow.
Did you take your protest disc up to Canada with you?
My protest disc?
Boca Bryan made you one, he says.
Very on it.
A lot of protest songs from the 60s and such.
I might peruse around for it. I did get his thing yesterday about that car deal he got. I don't know what I'm not going to read the name of the dealership, but boy,
no.
Talk about Boca Bryan's new car adventure. Wow, wow, wow.
Believe
he went
that?
To a dealership. They made him a deal. He gets in the car, he's driving away, and the finance manager comes running out and says, wait, give me the keys back. This is amazing.
Yeah, we just found out you work in radio.
Now, did he bring this car by the other day?
Yeah, it's nice.
What a beauty.
It is. It really is. Let me drive it.
Man, oh, man.
Chrysler,
a Crossfire.
Is it, yeah. Right.
That is a beauty.
Sporty, Porsche-like.
He got it from a dealer in Orlando, went up there and picked it up. It says now that he has it, he rubs his naked body on it.
Oh,
well, like
geez.
I said, it used to be really beautiful. Speaking of cars, with the heat of the summer here right now, it's a great time to get out of that piece of crap you've been driving, get into a spiffy new Toyota from Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. They're on US 1, 20 minutes south of the 836, and no matter where you live, it's worth driving down there because you're going to save thousands on great new unbeatable Toyotas. And with rising gas prices, maybe you'd like to get a car with more fuel economy. The legendary Toyota Corolla can be yours for just $11,990, or lease it for just $209 a month. Need a great Toyota for that college or high school graduate? How about the Toyota Echo lease price at just $199? Need a truck? The V6 Toyota Tundra regular cab can be yours for just $239 a month. Looking for the hottest new cars around? Check out the Corolla XRS and Solera convertible. It's in stock and waiting on you right now at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. They want to make you a happy camper. In fact, their service department is even open late to late weeknights to make sure they get all your service work done for you. And, most important of all, keep in mind that Armstrong Toyota of Homestead was the first dealer to offer you free tires and batteries for life. Now, they're the first to offer you free replacement parts for life. You heard correct. Tires, batteries, and free parts for life. Whoever heard of a thing like that? So say goodbye to those mega dealers who give you a big song and a dance and then rip you off. See our good buddy David Rich, the GM, for a real honest-to-goodness unbeatable deal. He's the GM at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead. Drive a little and save a ton, thousands on that great new Toyota only at Armstrong Toyota of Homestead.
Live and local, we're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Young is too young. Bunkers ain't the place to be. Prison living ain't the life for me. Photographs of you are sent worldwide. You might end up in one of those naked piles.
Those cells.
No clothes.
Except pantyhose.
On their heads, women's tights.
They blast all their lights.
Purple grave, don't go there.
It's 11:01 at the Crazy House, man. I'm going to tell you, if you think that the Barry Jackson column was something, you ain't heard nothing yet. First of all, I just came back in from the phone ringing during that last break. And I see a fax with your handwriting on it.
Right.
Duff will call you now! Exclamation point. I'm in the middle of doing a radio show.
No.
Oh yes. And my phone is not in this room. See, it's probably not a good idea to have your phone when you're on the talking on the air.
Yeah.
What a bunch of idiots down there! Get them some doggy downers, okay? Pass them out, handfuls, okay? Get a hold of Wilma and get a handfuls of doggy downers for Greg and Duff and Clarence and all of our management experts down there. I'm in the middle of doing a high-paid, highly-rated talk show here, trying to entertain the troops out there, and you're interrupting in the middle of the show with an inane bunch of crap? I should probably tell you what he asked me. I'm going to tell you right on the air, okay, because he didn't say not for repetition. Greg asked him to call. Our fearless leader, Greg Reed, asked him to call. Did you say that Howard Stern isn't going to be on the station because of something you know? In other words, do you know something we don't know? I don't know anything. All I know is that just common sense would tell you, dictate if you have any... Well, see, I'm talking common sense. Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry.
I'm just digesting all of that.
Common sense.
Like, you talked to Howard, and Howard told you that he...
Yeah, Howard Stern personally told me, he says, I don't want to be on that horseball station. Howie told me. The only Howie I know is
absolutely
that one, the one that goes
that.
That's the only Howie I know, my good new buddy. I mean, this guy is pumping me for information like I'm holding something back. I know something that you don't know, Greg. Believe me, I know a lot that you don't know, like you name it. Whatever I know, you don't know it. But it has nothing to do with Howard Stern.
You don't know Diddley.
He just keeps talking this crap and more crap and more crap. He just got through with Joe Rose yesterday, according to everybody in the building. That's the rumors that I'm hearing. And Joe is coming back on this weekend, and everything's going to be hunky. Doreen Moe's going to be out there with or without Geldy, probably without. And that's it. But no, he just keeps this fantasy alive in his head. He's going to put on a Howard Stern. Hey, listen, it's not my license, baby. I'd like to at least finish out the 2.5 years. I'd like to have a radio station on which to finish it out and get a paycheck every couple of weeks. See what I'm saying?
What are you saying?
Not that we want to deprive the South Florida audience of their dose of Howard Stern every day. That's not the problem. The question is whether we're going to keep the license on a spec. See, this is a guy who always does the wrong thing at the worst possible time. That's Greg Reed. I mean, if it makes less than no sense, count on him to do it. And count on Barry Jackass to have it in his column tomorrow morning. I mean, just absolutely, positively...
Unbelievable.
And I'm standing in there, I'm listening out of one ear, the spot's playing in here, the break is going on, and I'm standing in my living room with the other ear, and I'm saying to him, I'm on the air, my phone isn't in the studio, I got to get back there and do a radio show, you imbecile, you lunatic, you weak-kneed, jelly-livered queen. God. Good golly.
Rectum.
Well, Greg asked me. If Greg asked you to drop your shorts there, right there in the hallway, would you do it?
Yes.
Well, he knew that. I mean, there's no question about that. John Bro, the only one with the balls to vote against the FCC. Of course, didn't take a big pair because he's retiring anyway at the end of the year. But at any rate, he had the balls to vote against it. He's the only one. John Bro, he's on our poll today. What current political figure has the biggest pair of cojones? You don't have to ask that about QAM about cojones because they don't exist. We got a bunch of smoothies at our station, especially in management. God. Can you believe that?
I'm stunned.
Greg, Duff is going to call you right now. Like it isn't something that couldn't wait. In other words, he's got a question, so, see, if he wants to have a conversation, I'll be glad. We'll just leave some dead air, or we'll play that music again, the protest music. Yeah.
Oh, not that protest music?
Yeah. No, I was thinking more, I've got my own protest music, which I think is perfect for what's going on. Yeah. I think this is perfect for QAM. I might just play it the rest of the day.
I'm
Oh, good. God Almighty.
Medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years. I hate this place. Nothing works here.
No.
Okay. Wow, wow, wow. Welcome. See, I said circus. Welcome to the QM Mental Institution, boys and girls. Anybody got some straitjackets out there they'd like to donate? Please, straitjackets. Doggy downers.
I get to wear the straitjacket.
Maybe we can get a group deal on a lobotomy for the entire management staff.
You can wear the gay jacket.
See, this is the guy who, he just gone off the deep end. He just, not that he was ever on it, but he just slid right off the edge once he screwed up the morning deal, once he did his Humpty Dumpty routine 2.5 years ago, and he just can't come back. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? Well, don't look at us what to do. How about, Joe Rose is doing just great. Leave it alone. We even like Mo now a little bit.
Absolutely.
Not a lot, but a little bit. But just quit tinkering already. Leave it alone. I see a whole body, a lot of spots on this log, man. Looks like we're making money hand over limp wrist. What is the problem? See, if we don't have a problem, this is what always happens in this business. If you don't have, like, major problems, management will invent some. That's what they do best. They don't manage. They mismanage. They create nightmares. They create problems. They create chaos and constant turmoil because it gives them job justification. It's like Muck just making that phone call to me right in the middle of a radio show. I never heard of such a thing, unless there was like some emergency. The transmitter got struck by lightning or somebody just had a heart attack and croaked in the hallway or something like that. Yeah. But short of that, I'm doing a radio show here. There was no excuse for that call. Duff is going to call you right now. Don't call me. I'll call you, okay? And don't hold your breath. And I'll let you know why I'm going to call you. I think I just said it a little while ago. How about adding Al Gore to the poll, somebody said.
How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison.
Abu Ghraib.
Attaboy, Al. He's giving another killer speech in D.C. today is what Terry says. Also Ted Kennedy. Let's put Big Fat Teddy on there, too. Al Gore, Ted Kennedy. How the hell could we leave Teddy off of there, right? Love Ted Kennedy. So, sure. See, here's the deal. Ted Kennedy, his personal life a mess, a disaster. He admits that. But in the meantime, a great senator. See, that's the problem with the American public. Thanks to the media, and thanks to all these great revelations, you know, this one is screwing that one, and this one. That's the problem with America today, is the media. The media is bringing down the whole country. When Roosevelt had his mistress, the public didn't know about that. In fact, the public, most of them didn't even know Roosevelt was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Did they have a reason? Did they have a need to know?
No.
Of course not. Look at this. The Movico theaters throughout South Florida are not going to carry Fahrenheit 9/11. Movico, M-U-V-I-C-O. Regal and AMC theaters will have it. And for the poll, Richard Clark. That's a good one. Dick Clark. No, I better not put Dick. Well, for several reasons. Richard Clark.
We got it.
Okay. So Movico is not going to carry the movie. How do you like that? Censorship at your movie theaters. This isn't one of those like Last Tango in Paris or one of those like X-rated, non-X, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, so they don't like the political content. Tough TD, man. Too bad. Screw you guys.
They're
off. Screw Movico. Don't ever go there again,
no.
Okay?
I used to really like Movico.
Well, no more. Nope. No mas.
Especially now that the Oakwood has stadium seating.
Well, the hell with them. They should only rot in hell. Coxa Hoist, that's our message to them. They're almost as far blunted as Greg Reed. I just said that because you like the word.
So what do you know?
What current... Okay, I still can't get over that. And 9 out of 10 times I wouldn't even go out and answer that because I'd assume it was just another FedEx package showed up. It's usually the concierge. You have a package for you, and I go out and pick it up later. Fine. But just something, just in the way the tone of the phone ringing, you know what I mean? It had that desperate sound. And of course, well, no, when you're talking about Duff, it's always desperate.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Greg asked me to call, and again, I said, tell him to get lost. I'm doing a radio show, and I said a few other words, too, that I can't see on air, like one of those and one of these. Yeah, a couple of those. I'm not blaming Muck. He's just, you know, being the lackey that he's paid to do, just, you know, just being the gopher. What current American political figures got the biggest pair of cojones? Michael Moore, 101. We love Michael Moore, baby. Oh! And if Movico theaters don't want to show it, we'll never, ever go there again under any circumstances. If they gave us free passes, we'd stick them up somebody's butt.
Tui.
Right. Feh. I hear they're trafe. Michael Moore, 101. Howard Dean, 11. In fact, the rumor's starting that somebody pees on a popcorn at movie co-theaters. That's what I heard. Howard Dean, 11. Janet Reno, 6. Maybe it was Josh Beckett. Russ Feingold, 2. No votes yet for John Breaux, Al Gore, Ted Kennedy, or Richard Clark out of the first 120. Well, there just aren't too many. It's a very sad situation, baby. Speaking of Fahrenheit 9/11, well, I got a couple of things here, including to which they're trying to stop the advertising. It wasn't bad enough that they couldn't stop the movie. And then, of course, that jackass Ray Bradbury. Did you see him on there on the news last
night?
What an old fossil, man. Yeah, what an idiot. I want my Fahrenheit 451 back. Well, guess what? This one's not called Fahrenheit 451, jackass, spazhole.
Weak writer.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, yeah, wannabe, pretender. You couldn't lick Carl Sagan's butt. Especially now that he's in that box. Nothing like Carl Sagan doing that melodramatic. Oh, that's the whole thing. You know? Oh, man. Let's put him on in the morning. Yeah! Oh! Put him on there with a mole man. At least it's somebody who's not guilty. That's all he cares about. You don't want no guilty on there at all. I don't think you'll ever hear the two of them together. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a fly on the wall in that situation if Joe does come back next week and then we got guilty back with Mo again? I don't think that's going to fly. Do you? Speaking of fly on the wall. I think Duff's got a better chance of flying than that situation there. 12 minutes after 11. Don't ever do that again, Duff. I don't care what Greg says. Give him a couple of doggy downers and calm him down. Pat him on the head. Tell him he's got a nice haircut and a beautiful Birch Brothers suit and get out of my face. Right in the middle of the show. Like I know something. I know nothing. See, I'm not the one that makes up stories and equivocates and lies and avoids people and evades and doesn't return phone calls and plays games with people and shakes hands and makes deals with people and runs away and doesn't return their phone calls. That's not me, okay? I don't want to tell you who that might be, okay? I don't want to give you an idea, but it might just be somebody named...
Greg.
Yeah, oh, that wasn't very good. Somebody named...
Greg.
Yeah.
So,
for years... What?
What do you know?
You ought to know. I told you all of the information before the show. He'll come in there and pump you for it after the show. In fact, maybe he'll do that before noon.
I'll get the buzzer.
Yeah, George knows. George knows why Stern won't be on. For years, you've been hearing about A-Laser Recharge, the toner and recharge cartridge specialist. When you call A-Laser Recharge at 1-800-287-9212, you'll be talking to our friend Just Bob, the sole owner who supplies businesses with a complete line of printing and office equipment supplies. A-Laser Recharge got inkjets, thermocarbon paper, supplies, and now they provide service support and maintenance for most makes and models of machines to make them run just like brand new again. Call 1-800-287-9212 right now, and in most cases you'll have what you need within 24 hours. A-Laser Recharge can save you up to 50% on new cartridges as compared to depot pricing. All the cartridges sold by A-Laser Recharge are remanufactured, not refilled. Anybody, any schlepper can sell you a cheap refilled cartridge, but keep in mind you only get what you pay for. Remanufactured cartridges are the only smart way to go. A-Laser carries a complete line of cartridges for printers, copiers, and faxes, along with Brother and Xerox drums. A-Laser Recharge is proud of their individualized service, offers a no-questions-asked satisfaction guarantee. So if you're looking for toner, cartridges, anything else in that line, pick up the phone and call Just Bob at A-Laser Recharge, toll-free, 1-800-287-9212. You can log on to their website, alaserrecharge.com, or make that toll-free call today, and you'll have your goods, like I said, within 24 hours. 1-800-287-9212. And don't forget...
Greg hates you.
My and local. This is Sports Radio 560. UAM.
Absolutely.
Tired of paying FCC fines for me. Feeling so censored, my show is now sterile. Don't know what you expect me to be. Put under arrest next, take me off my show.
Shock jocks have got to go, that stern has got to go.
Every word that I say is under the microscope.
Don't know who's next to go, get in line or hit the road.
Brett Reed is like the little kid who puts his hand on a stove, and you say, don't keep doing that, Johnny. You're going to burn yourself real bad. It's going to hurt like crazy. It's bad news. And he just keeps sticking it back on there and sticking it back on there. See, this business about, see, what it really boils down to is he's scared crapless that somebody else is going to put Stern on in the market in the morning. And my comment to that would be, let them lose their license.
They're animals anyway.
Let them lose their license. Not that I'm agreeing with the rulings, you understand, but it's just that knowing the nature of the market and certain people inside the market who caused Pharrell to get fired and who caused Cheap Channel to drop Howard Stern off all their channels, the situation hasn't changed. In fact, if anything, the climate has gotten much worse. So divest yourself of that insanity and just leave it alone already. He needs to be removed from the premises. He needs to be. They need to call, you know, the Baker Act.
Yeah.
Call up Howard Baker.
For cookies?
Or call up Enzo the Baker for your father. I'm serious. He needs to be Baker-acted. We're never going to survive as long as that man is in charge. It's like Dr. Frankenstein is on the loose. He's just a madman. Anyway, I'm trying to calm down because I just can't believe like this. And the article in Barry Jackson's column, and Joe is this, and Geldy is that, and Mo is all whipped up. Just let some of the crap come back. See, I think he's doing this just for my sake, because he realizes my summer schedule starts very soon. No, seriously. I mean, God forbid that I should slip off into a couple of months of enjoying the summer and only working a couple of days a week and enjoying my life. God forbid in my doddering old age that I should be able to do that. Just keep stirring it, stirring it, stirring it. Oh, brother. Stir the pot. Don't smoke it, but just stir it. A 62-year-old Cape Coral woman speaking of Fort Myers. A 62-year-old Cape Coral woman who married her lesbian partner in Massachusetts was banned from teaching in the Church of Christ Scientist after she refused to repent for her actions. How do you like that?
Oh, my God.
Kathleen Clemenson returned her teaching credentials and left the church. Her former students are now considered by the Christian Science Board of Directors to have had no primary instruction. Clemenson married Suzanne Nightingale, 49, also of Cape Coral, on a public beach on May 20th before Massachusetts started banning out-of-state same-sex couples from obtaining marriage licenses. The women have since bought a townhouse in that state and said they plan to move there. An AP photo taken of the service was sent to newspapers around the world, and many people recognized Clemenson's name in connection with the church. The church sent Clemenson a letter in early June saying she had abused her role as a teacher but did not define the abuse. The letter directed her to cut ties with former students and said she could teach again only if she repented and served a 3-year probation. They were not specific, Clemenson said. I don't feel I've got anything to repent for more than anybody else. And, of course, representatives from the Boston-based church didn't return the phone calls. Yada, yada, yada to AP. That's the end of that. Now, getting back to Fahrenheit 9/11, which comes to a movie theater near you tomorrow, but not, what is it, Movie Co?
Right, not Movie Co. According to that fax, you know.
Right. Well, again, we have no way of verifying that. Don't you have the newspapers right there? See, the thing that's really pissing me off here is that the newspapers, we got four of them here, but they don't seem inclined to put, like, the next day's listings in.
Right. That's also the issue, like, on your Yahoo or something like that.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it's only listed from today. You know what I mean?
And I even went online, and I found a Toronto movie thing, and then, Mississauga and Whitby, and I found four places where it's starting tomorrow, and all of them are like a zillion miles away from here. I mean, I wouldn't mind taking a limo out there and back. That would be okay, but it just, I would prefer not to have to do that.
I'm going to go find some future listings to verify that.
To verify the Movie Co. thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that a crock of crap, huh? What a great reason to boycott them, if it turns out to be true, and if not, we certainly apologize, but I believe it. Cheered by supporters, Michael Moore previewed his Bush-bashing documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11, before a mostly Democratic audience in the nation's capital last night. Democratic National Committee Chairman Terry McAuliffe said he thought the film would play an important role in this election year. This movie raises a lot of the issues that Americans are talking about, that George Bush has been asleep at the switch since he's been president, McAuliffe said, as he walked the red carpet into the premiere. He shouldn't be walking the red carpet, Terry McAuliffe. He ought to be walking the plank. He's a real loser. Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa implored all Americans to see the film. It's important for the American people to understand what has gone on before, what led us to this point, and to see it sort of in this unvarnished presentation by Michael Moore, who's leading our poll, by the way, by a landslide. He's all alone just about. He's the only one with balls.
And Pines does not have it listed according to mine.
Right.
And Josh can't find it listed either in any Movie Co.
Well, how do you like that? How about that, sports fans? Maybe somebody ought to call them and find out if they're planning on showing the movie in any of their theaters.
Or maybe they're Nazis. Maybe. Josh dumped me.
Good. Did he really? Good, yeah. Good work, Josh. I like Josh better already. Good choice. I'm just sitting here in dismay. You just every now and then blurt something out that probably would be better left unsaid. And if it turns out that it's true, then we'll say that. I'll say it.
All right.
The two-hour film depicts President Bush as lazy and oblivious to warnings in the summer of 2001 that Al-Qaeda was poised to strike. It also accused the administration of manipulating the 9/11 attacks and fanning terrorism fears to win support for the Iraqi war, which, of course, is...
absolutely correct.
Dozens of fans greeted Moore outside the theater with applause and shouts of, "Go, Michael!" and "Put down the sandwich." Moore, a fervent Bush critic, said he hopes the movie will get people to the ballot box in November. If this movie can inspire a few of that 50% who did not vote in this country to get back involved, to re-engage, then the movie will accomplish something important, he said. Opening in limited release in New York on Wednesday, the film drew mixed reaction. The movie is slanted. It's a backlash at the president, taking the view that the U.S. leadership is incompetent, said Miguel Brown, 22, a production assistant who did not work on the movie. Moore makes it look like U.S. soldiers in Iraq were thrown into a battle straight off the streets. The American army is better than that. Brown is the son of a military officer. So he's obviously very objective. Fahrenheit 9/11 won the top honor at last month's Cannes Film Festival. Yada yada. It opens nationwide on Friday. Moore and his distributors lost their appeal Tuesday to lower the rating to PG-13. It's R, and big deal with that. Who cares? And more on that. Michael Moore may be prevented from advertising his controversial new movie Fahrenheit 9/11 on the television or radio after July 30.
About 30, man.
If the FEC today accepts the legal advice of its general counsel, of course, by July 30, everybody would have seen it anyway. So what's the big deal with that? At the same time, a Republican-allied soft money group is preparing to file a complaint against Moore's film with the FEC for violating campaign finance law. In a draft advisory opinion placed on the FEC's agenda for today's meeting, the agency's general counsel states that political documentary filmmakers may not air TV or radio ads referring to federal candidates within 30 days. How many?
About 30, man.
Of a primary election or 60 days of a general election. The ad is on TV on every channel, even the damn food channel, on air every 10 seconds. So by July 30th, everybody will know about it, they'll have seen it, etc. The opinion is generated under the new McCain-Feingold campaign finance law, which prohibits corporate-funded ads that identify a federal candidate before a primary general election. Whoop-de-doo. Big deal, right?
Right. So I can't find the Oakwood isn't showing it, but Aventura is tomorrow.
Aventura what?
AMC, Aventura Multiplex, whatever.
All right.
We love the Aventura AMC Multiplex or whatever the hell it is. We love them, right?
AMC Aventura 24.
Like I said, we love the AMC Aventura 24. Don't forget, join the QM's coverage of the NHL entry draft this Saturday.
Yeah,
oh, I see. I'm trying to read this briefly and trying to like narrow. I'm not going to do it. I'll do it again later. I'm trying to like narrow it down. But the way Clarence writes this, it's like about a 10-minute spot. Forget about it, Clarence. Okay, nobody wants to hear that crap anyway. 27 after 11 at QAM. When you shop for quality footwear, you won't find any crap at Brandy Shoes. I'll tell you that because they carry the best names in the shoe business. No off brands like some of those shoe stores. They've got the best at Brandy's, Rockport's, Florsheim, SAS, Sperry, Timberland, Naturalizer, all the top names in the business. And with Brandy's huge selection, I guarantee you could bet Greg Reed's life on it, and I'll throw in Muff as well. You could bet both their life on it, that whatever you need for your size is in stock on a shelf ready to slap on your fat feet right now. Brandy's is open daily Monday through Saturday 9 to 9, Sundays 10 to 5. Smart people have been buying shoes at Brandy's for a coon's age because they know they're going to get a great deal all the way around. You'll find Brandy's at 1290 North Federal Highway in Pompano Beach. It's always worth the trip no matter where you are, and right now, it's a great time to buy boat shoes this week at Brandy's. Buy one pair at the regular price, get the second pair for half price. Choose from famous brands like Sperry, Timberland, and Sadego. Come in or visit them on the web at Brandy's Shoes. That's with two S's, brandyshoes.com.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Town at 560 WQAM.
Hello once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Greg Reed, the GM of QAM. And I have exciting news for you. Now, as you know, the sports side of our community-minded station has its own website. Not to be confused with that Neil fella whose website has pictures of naked women on it. Well, our website, and here's what I want to tell you about, see. Our website, gosh, I'm so excited. I can hardly contain myself. The website has a new feature on it, you see. It's an auction. kind of like eBay or a garage sale, let's say. Now, you can bid on many sought-after sports-related items on there. Like, well, for instance, today we have assorted locker room laundry autographed by Don Shuler, who's also a reverend, I understand. Well, anyway, all the proceeds go to a worthy cause. Me! So I hope you'll see it in your hearts to give generously to me! Well, good night, folks. See you online.
27 till noon at 560 WQM. Here's one from Steve. Says, how about putting Senator Joe Biden of Delaware on your poll? He's got a big one. Sure, why not? Joe Biden, we got him?
We got it.
Are we biding our time?
Our tongue.
What do we got so far? We got Michael Moore killing a competition, which is good. Good thing we're doing this poll. It'll keep the movie in their mind so they don't have to go to MovieCo and see some beat movie tomorrow. What current American political figure is the biggest pair of cojones? Michael Moore, 150. Janet Reno, 20. Janet's got a big pair, baby. Make no mistake about that. Howard Dean, 16. Teddy Kennedy's got 5. Richard Clark, 4. Russ Feingold, 3. Al Gore, 2. John Bro has none out of the first 200 votes. See, not getting inundated with votes because they're like lukewarm on this. Speaking of movies, here's the big motion picture news of the day, of the century maybe. From Rome, no less. Retiring from porn stardom with 1,300 films under his belt, Italian actor Rocco Siffredi claims he's still up to the job but is quitting for family reasons, the Daily La Repubblica reported. My children are growing up, and I can no longer say, Dad is going to work and make money for the family. They want to know more, he said of his two sons, age 7 and 4. It's not my body which is holding up very well, but for family reasons, he told the paper. When I started 20 years ago, it bothered me to see guys around 40 filming with much younger girls. Now I'm 40 and it's time to go. Adding that he would go into filming and producing. Siffredi described his wife of 13 years, Rosa, a former Miss Hungary, as sweet and intelligent. She absolutely knows the difference between sex for work and sex for love, he said. Rocco Siffredi, a.k.a. Rocco Ziffarelli, a.k.a. whatever else. The Italian something.
Scallion.
The Italian scallion. Something like that. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT. What a day this has been, boy, I'm telling you. That phone call just, it set me back years. In fact, I think my boil, see that just popped again because of a muffin Greg. It's like a bunch of overgrown children we got there sitting running a multi-million dollar company. Like that. That's what they're doing in the hallway with each other. WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, great to talk to you. Listen, did you see or hear about this Al Goldstein moving and all of that simus there?
What do you mean by that?
Day before yesterday, and I think the Herald, there was a half-page piece, being evicted and taking his penis over to the West Coast. And
I'm a fat Jew.
Yeah.
You know, he went through that bypass surgery and he lost like 250 pounds.
Yeah.
They had a photo of him. It was kind of shocking. Plus, his whole empire seems to have collapsed. So.
Well, the government was out to get him, and they did get him, and he gave them ample reason. You know, he gave them plenty of ammunition, and he, self-destructed. It's really a very sad story.
Yeah. Well, if you got the interest, 2 days ago in the Herald, I think it was a nice piece on the whole thing. His new wife, is this his fifth wife?
Quick counting at this point.
Yeah, well, they're moving over to the other coast, so...
Well, that's their problem. Okay, thanks for the bad news. Okay, do we care about any of that?
No.
No, but it killed a few seconds. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Poor Al Goldstein, there's another guy, you see. When you're one of those people who's like a revolutionary, when you're like avant-garde, when you're like outrageous, America don't want outrageous no more. As a matter of fact, guess who probably don't like Al Goldstein too much?
Who doesn't
like statues with naked boobies on them.
Oh, that's a good point. Ashcroft.
A watchdog group sued Attorney General John Ashcroft yesterday for classifying previously public documents pertaining to a whistleblower's claims of security lapses in the FBI's translator program, to which we say...
All right.
Citing national security, Ashcroft recently classified documents related to the case of Sybil Edmonds, no relation to harness driver Randy Edmonds, a former linguist at the FBI. The lawsuit charged that reclassifying materials that had previously been in the public domain is illegal and unconstitutional.
Unbelievable.
The suit was filed in federal. It's illegal and...
Unbelievable.
No, let me try it again. And...
Unconstitutional.
The suit was filed in federal court by the Washington-based Project on Government Oversight, a nonprofit group that's been following the case. In 2002, Edmonds told her bosses of her concerns about shoddy translations and suggested one interpreter with a relative who works at a foreign embassy may have compromised national security. She was fired soon after. The Bureau cited performance issues as reasons for the dismissal. Ashcroft told Senate Judiciary Committee members at a hearing earlier this month that he took responsibility for the decision to classify the Edmonds information. The national interest of the U.S. would be seriously impaired if information provided in one briefing to the Congress were to be made generally available, he said. The lawsuit said that Edmonds' case was discussed by the FBI during unclassified Senate Judiciary Committee briefings in 2002. It said letters urging the FBI to investigate her claims were posted on the websites of Senators Patrick Leahy and Charles Grassley. Those letters have since been removed from the websites. No doubt Mr. Ashcroft has been covering those up in between covering up statues. This is an extraordinary and dangerous abuse of power by Ashcroft to improperly use the classification system to hide information that the Justice Department finds embarrassing, said Danielle Bryan, executive director of the project. The group has been investigating Edmonds' allegations and wants to post its findings on its website, but is barred from doing so now because of the reclassification, Bryan said. See, just this is like the Nazis all over again. This is the Nazis all over again. These are not the neocons. These are the neo-Nazis. Make no mistake about it. Is that enough to make you gag or what?
I'm gagging.
God.
Hey, thanks to the listener who sent us the link to this this place.
What place is that?
I just sent you the links. www.f911tix.com.
Yeah, and what does it do?
You can enter the city that you're in, and it'll give you the listings.
Yeah, but probably only the U.S. city, because I tried going to the Michael Moore, the website, and it's just got a map. Huh?
I'm going to try Toronto.
Give it a shot. While I'm doing a break, give it a shot and see what you got. Ready or not.
Okay.
20 till noon. Let's see. What's that schedule look like today? What is it?
Nothing. Nothing came up. You're right.
It won't do it. It's just U.S. Mad Dog at 2. Now, is he back or is he still in Reykjavik?
We don't know.
I think he must be back because I heard him yesterday thanking everybody that helped him there and the engineers and... Big Tree Crawford and Steve, somebody over there, and whoever else. You notice Bob Vermouth wasn't over there screwing things up. That's why it sounded so good. That's why the equipment worked those couple of days from Reykjavik. We'll find out. Tune in at 2, you'll find out where he is. The Humper's at the Seminoles in Hollywood at 4 o'clock this afternoon, plunging his guts out. Marlins on deck at 6:30. Braves at the Marlins. Didn't I tell you the other day that that's just what the doctor ordered was the Braves coming to town? Didn't I say that, Josh?
Yeah.
And I was right, because the Marlins have the Braves number and always have had. 7:05 game time at the ballpark, and then Eddie K after the baseball game. Don't forget my good close personal buddy.
Absolutely.
5 to 8 tomorrow morning. It's Mo and the Big together. What an improvement that is over what they had before, you know what I mean? I don't want to mention no name.
Ow!
Hey, if you're trying to lose weight by following a low-carb diet, the Lights of West Bocas help thousands of low-carb dieters achieve their weight loss goals. Today, shopping for the right low-carb products has become more and more confusing. It's a real pain in the arse. Most of the so-called low-carb products on grocery store shelves won't help you lose weight. In fact, a lot of them actually are loaded with carbs. Picking out foods with the right ingredients as well as the lowest possible carbs, that's the key if you want to lose weight on a low-carb diet. Delights focuses on over 1,000 of the right low-carb food items and products that you can try before you have to buy. Anything in the store, just try it before you lay out any cash for it. And they have a knowledgeable staff that knows dieting inside and out. So if you're on the Atkins, Sugar Buster, South Beach, any low-carb, sugar-free diet, this is the place you want to stock up on all kinds of tasty goodies. Delights of West Boca, the number one low-carb store in America. Let them help you reach that important weight loss goal, and please stay alive. They're open every day, 7 days a week from 10 till 10, and you'll find them on the northeast corner of Glades and 441, right next to Boston Market, or call them toll-free at 1-877-LOW-CARB, L-O-W-C-A-R-B, or on the web, it's lowcarb.com, L-O-W-C-A-R-B. That's Delights of West Boca at your official Atkins Retail Center.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio's all yours now.
QAM.
Bill Rogers.
A message to America from 16-year-old Elian Gonzalez.
Hola, they want me to tell you all is well here. What could be wrong? Sending me back was a blessing. I am 16 years old now, and the luckiest boy in the world to be here in the jewel of the Caribbean, Castro's Cuba. The hotels here are, how you say, swanky. I am also fortunate to be wearing my family heirloom, Cesar Romero's wife, Pita's shirt. So, you and your happy meals. I am getting my license soon, and Papi says if I pass my Desiognes history test, he'll bother for a 58 Plymouth Savoy at one thing. You infidels may have jail on Disney World, but we have Plymouths. Lots of Plymouths. If you stupid through the Cubans in the army still want to show your support, please send me your empty Cafe Pastello cans in case I need Eastern wings. Senor Janet Reno is a nice man. I'll always be grateful to him for saving me from that weird janitor with the hair. You may not know this, but he touched me. So, you imperialist American, that I die.
14 to noon. Whoever sent that fax about Richard Clark's book and about he's the one who decided to spirit Osama bin Laden's family out of the U.S. and he's the one who made the decision, I must have missed that part in the book, and so must have everybody else who read it. So yeah. If he wants to fax back and tell me where in the book I can find that.
Yeah, like what page?
Yeah, what page is what reference or where he's finding that, because that's news to me. Anyway, if I can find it, I'll be glad to read it on the air. Here's one that says, hey, Neil, on the QM auction, you can bid to be a guest host on the big show for an hour. Needless to say, there were zero bids for that crap. What an effing scam. I think we should be able to bid on being able to beat the crap out of Mo Howard.
Absolutely.
Is your radio station that desperate for money that they have to whore out their own employees? The thought of that auction makes me puke. QAM is as or more corrupt than the Bush administration. Shame on them. Keep ripping QAM. They suck and so does Mo.
Do.
How do you like that? So he was really pissed off about this scam that they're running with this auction. I'll say it again. They sucked me into that. How many months ago was that? A couple of months ago? And I read the promos, and then I just innocently, I thought, well, what charity is this support? Because I'd like to tell the audience, you know, where the money is going. The Beasley charity.
Right.
Beasley Enterprises, some bogus name they made up, or some other corporation. The money's going in their pocket as clearances. It's another revenue stream. As Josh Beckett would say, it's streaming down your leg, Josh, okay?
So I want to confirm that auction item there. And apparently, that's not all we have. You could be Boog for a day, apparently, or at least hang out with him.
Yeah.
Spend the day inside Boog's head or something.
Well, you see, Greg must be planning ahead for when we put Howard Stern on in the morning. We get fined millions and millions of dollars. We got to raise money somehow, so what we're going to know is raise the money ahead of time. So we have like a big slush fund. Of course, then when they take the license away, then we can just do all of the stuff out there in the street corner with a megaphone. I'm working for crazy people, folks. That's what it's all about. Crazy people, certified, honest to goodness, totally beyond a shadow of a doubt, insane people. God, what a lunatic. I think he ought to elope with Barry Jackass. Maybe we could send the two of them to Massachusetts for the weekend. Don't you think that's a great idea? To Provincetown would be good. Greg and Barry.
What's there?
Rhymes with Mary. Anyway, here's a fax that says to a lady who obviously, or no, to Hector. This is from a lady, Gina. At Movie Co. Hector faxed to find out about the deal there, why they're not showing Fahrenheit in Line 11. It says, thank you for your interest in Movie Co. Theaters. Movie Co. Theaters typically plays all first-run mainstream Hollywood movies. We do not typically play art, foreign, or documentary features. During the very busy summer movie season, most of our screens are already booked with the many films that Hollywood is offering, i.e. Harry Potter 3, The Terminal, Garfield, The Stepford Wives, Around the World in 80 Days, Spider-Man 2, etc. Since Fahrenheit 9/11 is a very limited film with only 550 prints in circulation, we haven't confirmed when or if we'll have any available screens at this time. Thank you again for your interest, Movie Co. Theaters. Hector says, I was disappointed to see that you know, actually, this is what he originally said.
Yeah, it's the response.
Yada, yada, yada. Well.
Yeah. Alas.
There you go. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they're censoring it. Maybe it's legit. Who the hell knows? And I want to commend Josh. A great job there on Dumping George. It wasn't bad enough you brought your boyfriend Al Goldstein in there. It got us in the first jackpot. We got out of that alive. Well, you're the one that kept encouraging him.
Didn't.
You know, every time I'd go on vacation, stick with Suds, okay?
I didn't.
Stick with Suds. Suds
Stop
is safe. He's not a potty mouth. He doesn't slander people on the air. Stick with Suds. He's a good sidekick for you there this summertime. Don't be bringing any more loose cannons like your friend Al Goldstein.
And
we just had to hear all of that cockeray about before that. I don't care.
Trying to nail that on me. You were the one.
And then not only that, but then he asked him to bring Ron Jeremy in too, so he could squeeze his pubic. Here. That was disgusting. 5670560. If you miss QM's coverage of the NHL entry draft this Saturday, you might miss a chance to win an autographed Roberto Luongo jersey and a Luongo's best 13-game season ticket plan for two in the lower bowl. In fact, most of the Panther fans have spent a lot of time at the bowl the last few seasons. To register, log on to WQM.com. Then listen to QM's NHL entry draft coverage this Saturday. Don't try to adjust your radio if it'll sound a little squeaky. from 11:30 till 2 for your name to be announced as the grand prize wiener. Won't that be great? Maybe, and if you don't win that, maybe you can win a date with John Wiener. Or you just win the Duff's, well, anyway. Join the Real Yellow Pages from Bell South and QM noon to 1 at the Majestic Locksmith today. It's coming up momentarily. I bet you Miguel is there right now. Located at 1860 West 60th Street in Hialeah. Stop by to pick up a pair of tickets to tonight's Marlins Braves game or a VIP pass to tonight's NBA draft party at the AAA Arena, the Mickey, the Scam Arena. Here's the story of the day. A new book by the senior Central Intelligence Agency officer who headed a special office to track Osama Yamama bin Laden and his followers warns that the U.S. is losing the war against radical Islam and that the invasion of Iraq has only played into the enemy's hands. In the book, Imperial Hubris, you know, so many books in so little time, it's getting on my nerves now. I've got them stacked halfway to my ceiling in the other room. How the hell do you find the time to read all of these damn things?
A lot of time in the toilet.
In the book, Imperial Hubris, the author is identified only as anonymous, but former intelligence officials identified him as a 22-year veteran of the CIA who is still serving in a senior counterterrorism post at the agency and headed the Bin Laden station from 1996 to 1999. The Bin Laden station, isn't that WIOD? They're the evildoers. That's Cheap Channel. Or maybe that's Big 106. That's the Bin Laden station. The 309-page book obtained by the New York Times provides an unusual glimpse into a school of thought inside the CIA and includes harsh criticism of both the Clinton and Bush administrations. U.S. leaders refuse to accept the obvious, the officer writes. We're fighting a worldwide Islamic insurgency, not criminality or terrorism, and our policy and procedures have failed to make more than a modest dent in enemy forces. The author says the threat is rooted in opposition not to American values, but to policies and actions, especially in the Islamic world. It is rare for a CIA officer to publish a book while still serving at the agency, and highly unusual for the book to focus on such a politically explosive topic. Under CIA rules, the book had to be cleared by the agency before it could be published. It was approved for release on condition that the author and his internal agency not be identified. The book itself identifies Anonymous only as a senior U.S. intelligence official with nearly two decades of experience in national security issues related to Afghanistan and South Asia. It identifies a previous book, Through Our Enemy's Eyes, Osama Bin Laden, Radical Islam and the Future of America, as being written by the same author. Former intelligence officials identified the officer to the Times and noted that he was an overt employee of the CIA, but an intelligence official asked that his full name not be published because it could make him a target of Al-Qaeda. The senior intelligence official said the book had been vetted to ensure that it not include classified information. We still have freedom of speech, the official said. Right. It doesn't mean that we endorse the book, but employees are free to express their opinions. We still have freedom of speech? What time is his show on?
Mr. Speech?
In a report issued in March, the staff of the 9/11 Commission described the Bin Laden unit as a place where a sense of alarm about Bin Laden was not widely shared or understood within the intelligence and policy communities. Another new book, Ghost Wars, by Steve Call of the Washington Post, was based in part on interviews with the officer identified by his first name, Mike. Mr. Call reported that the White House sometimes complained to George Tenet, the director of the CIA, that the officer was too myopic in his approach to manage the Bin Laden group. In the book, the author denounced the American invasion of Iraq as an avaricious, premeditated, unprovoked war against a foe who posed no immediate threat and said it would fuel the anti-American sentiments on which Mr. Bin Laden and his followers draw. Here's the most important part of this story, okay? If you're nodding off, you're not paying any attention, just listen to this one quote.
Okay.
There is nothing that Bin Laden could have hoped for more than the American invasion and occupation of Iraq, he writes. In warning that the U.S. is losing the war on terrorism, Anonymous writes, in the period since 9/11, the U.S. has dealt lethal blows to Al-Qaeda's leadership and, if official claims are true, have captured 3,000 Al-Qaeda foot soldiers. At the same time, he adds, we have waged two failed half-wars and in doing so left Afghanistan and Iraq seething with anti-U.S. sentiment, fertile grounds for the expansion of Al-Qaeda and kindred groups. Which ties right in with that clown that called here yesterday, wondering how come so much violent crap's going on. The Bin Laden unit, or station in agency parlance, is part of the CIA's counterterrorism center. It was established in 1996 at the agency's headquarters in Virginia as part of an organizational experiment that marked the first time the agency had dedicated a station to an individual instead of a country. A staff report issued by the 9/11 Commission in March, based in part on extensive interviews with the former station chief, described leaders of the station as having been deeply frustrated when a plan to capture Mr. Bin Laden in the spring of 98 was not recommended by the CIA leadership for approval by the White House. The chief and other leaders of the Bin Laden station were transferred from it in mid-99, according to the 9/11 Commission report, after morale in the unit sagged, and President Clinton was informed by his national security advisor that covert actions against Mr. Bin Laden had not been fruitful. In the book's preface, the author appears to direct criticism not only at policymakers, but also at his superiors in the intelligence agencies, including George Tenet, who fended off criticism after the attacks before announcing this month he'd resign on July 11th after Bush told him to get lost. The author expresses a pressing certainty that al-Qaeda will attack the continental U.S. again, that its next strike will be more damaging than that of 9/11/2001, and could include use of weapons of mass destruction. After the next attack, he adds, misled Americans and their elected representatives will rightly demand the heads of intelligence community leaders that heads do not roll after 9/11 is perhaps our most grievous post-attack error. And, of course, all the media pundits are busy asking Bill Clinton about the blue dress, and does he feel bad for Monica? 4 minutes till noon at 560 WQAM. Is your company suffering from regulations and increased labor costs? Let Oasis Outsourcing help you when it comes to the people side of your business. Payroll administration, Fortune 500 company employee benefits, human resource services, and risk management are just a few of the services that Oasis Outsourcing can cover to help your business be more profitable. Call Oasis Outsourcing today for a free evaluation. Call toll-free 1-866-AT-OASIS. That's 1-866-286-2747. With more than 60,000 employees worldwide, Oasis Outsourcing understands the many facets of human resource management. Outsourcing is being recognized by firms large and small as a powerful management choice, which lets you focus on your core business while leaving the operational details to the folks at Oasis Outsourcing. Let Oasis Outsourcing make your business more profitable. For a free evaluation, call toll-free 1-866-AT-OASIS. That's 1-866-286-2747 for Oasis Outsourcing.
We're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
This is Mark Morgan. It's the 12 to 1 hour on QAM.
Hey, Jude, I'll bet you God won't be coming to get you. He won't take just anyone, only good Christian sheep and no heaps. Start banging on that Bible and change your party to Republican too. Up presents a God when he has a rapture. No pants on in the hereafter.
Oh my God.
He takes all your clothes off. Cause in heaven you're naked. Not much to do up there. No computer, no cable, TV. You'll get wings like an angel and meet others just as boring as you. I'll present to God when he has a rapture.
Now.
Well, I don't know.
You got a magazine or something?
Yeah, but you have angel wings.
Can I fly with
it? Work that way. Sorry.
502 at 560 WQM. Barry and Margate says, in my facts, I should have written that Richard Clark assumed the responsibility for removing the Bin Laden family from the U.S. in his testimony to Congress, not in his book. And again, that must have been some of the most ignored testimony and some of the least heard. Maybe everybody was napping when that happened, okay?
Maybe it'll be in the movie.
It could be, but I doubt it. Anyway, speaking of the movie, I guess I better take a call or two, although we only have one. But guess who's got a lengthy review of Fahrenheit 9/11?
I don't know, Tom Jenkins.
Rex Reed.
Oh.
Same person without the hair. Moore's Magic 9/11 Electrifies. It's long, and I'm going to read it. But I should take a few calls here first just to make them feel good. Plus, they might have some more names for our poll or not, as the case may be. We're getting a very, very lame response on this. They don't like this poll. And you know what? That's okay. It's not going to make me feel bad. Because it's a limited number. Just they just don't exist. The public feels helpless and useless. It's kind of like us here at QAM. Desperate for some leadership, for some guidance, for somebody to lead us out of the wilderness into the sunshine, into a path of rationality and sanity, as opposed to the crap that we got leading us. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to recover from that phone call. I mean, not that it was that big of a deal, but it's just the idea that, like, oh, are you really on the air? Like, that kind of thing. I mean, are you, like, actually doing a radio show now? Don't you have time to answer Greg's question? Get him some help, okay? Look under P as in psychiatrist. Look under S as in shrink. Look under M as in mental health in the yellow pages. Get somebody in there, okay? Remember we had the lady came in, very nice lady, took my blood right in the studio
right
there.
Sure.
Get somebody to come in here and put him in a straitjacket. Give him maybe a little bit of that electroshock therapy would be good. Kind of like Jack Nicholson was getting there in Cuckoo's Nest. Yeah. Kind of like our good friend was getting there in Requiem.
Sarah.
Yeah, poor Sarah. Ever see Greg and Sarah together? Same person. WQAM, hello.
Hello, is this Neil?
Greg is Sarah after she got out. Yes, sir.
Neil.
Speaking. WQAM, hello.
Hello?
QAM, yes, sir.
This is the Neil Rogers shop?
Yes, it is.
All right, Neil, do you have Al Sharpton on your list?
Who?
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton's got a big pair. That's good. He was good in the debates, man. He opened up a big mouth, a big dark mouth. Even though we don't like a lot of what he stands for, nevertheless, he was good. Give credit where credit is due. How about little Dennis Kucinich, little guy with a big pair? Let's put him on there, too. Maybe we have to be creative and put all the names on there, okay, for these lunkheads. Right?
All right, let's do it.
Dennis Kucinich, there's the guy. See, he made the most sense. He got the least attention, the least votes. That's the way it always is. Very, very sad situation. And I'll say it again. You can't say it too many times. The media is pathetic. Here comes Bill Clinton. Here's a guy who was just president for two terms. 3.5 years ago he left office. Making the rounds, opening himself up to all of these questions. Ask whatever you want.
The media is sick and needs help badly.
And even the guy on the BBC that got him all whipped up into a frenzy there, all he wants to talk about is Ken Starr and Penisgate and Monica and Oprah with that silly crap she was talking about the other day, that pablum. Oh, and about Hillary and how did she feel and how did Chelsea take it. And all this cockeye, man, all of this nonsense. Here's a chance to find out what the hell was really going on in the world. What led to where the hell we are today? But instead, no, we want to find out about all these puff pieces, all of these human interest stories, all of this crap. Will the human race ever grow up? Will they ever get to the point where they put like something meaningful ahead of crap?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here I'm sitting on a sports station. I'm asking that question. I must be crazy.
Sports?
No, I must be losing it. Okay. In fact, from now on, just call me John Henry.
I must be crazy. I must be nuts.
That's it. That's my new name.
I must be crazy. I must be nuts.
John Henry.
You're nuts.
Was a hell of a hoss. He was the cynosure of the racing industry. WQAM, hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir?
Can you add Ralph Nader to the poll?
No. 5670560. Find out where that last guy was and let's go tie him up. Or maybe we'll just chop his head off. WQAM, hello.
Hello, Neil.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I like to put my vote in, but it's for somebody that I really hate. It's going to be have to be George W. Bush because he tried to take my hello.
I'm here.
Yeah, he tried to take my overtime pay away. I'm an EMS worker.
Yeah.
And he was going to take overtime pay away from 8 million first responders or something like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And also because of his tax cuts to the of course everybody making $1 million a year or more, and then leaving
right.
me with. A 2% tax cut. I mean, the list goes on, but yeah.
Takes big dollars to do that. Good point, Pally. We'll put him on there and see how he turns out.
All right, thanks, Dale.
Thank you. George W. Bush, put his ass on. I mean, put him on there.
We got it.
5670560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line here at the circus, at the mental institution, at the crazy place named QAM. This ain't a radio station. It's a nut house. I really mean that. I'm not saying that to be cute, clever, dramatic, whatever. It's a nut house. Certifiable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that when Mo came there, in fact, probably before his first meeting with Greg, maybe he was like an upstanding guy. I doubt it, but he might have been. And then, like, to come out of that meeting, the first thing he said was,
doi, 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 doi.
What does that tell you? WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
You know what the problem with America is?
What is that, sir?
The problem with America is we're being run by a Bush, a Dick, and a Colt.
Okay, great. Terrific. 5670560. Aren't these people creative?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, they're so and clever and creative and fresh new comedy. Kind of like that Joey Reynolds fresh new comedy.
Yeah.
So sad. 5670. But I told you it was important to take at least 20, 30,000 calls. Just keep that in mind, okay?
All right.
I mean, the fact that Josh had to dump you, that goes to show you need to, like, sharpen your skills before. I thought last week would have done that for you. What?
He didn't have to.
Why not?
Political party.
No. All wrong. Right.
Okay.
Not a good idea. We don't want to have to go back, go through all of that. You see, we're not imparting this on you strongly enough. In fact, you and Greg ought to have a good chat. Maybe you can go to lunch with him and get some of that sushi. Say, coochie, coochie, let's go get some sushi, okay? Maybe Terry Bradshaw will be there. WQAM, hello. Speaking.
Hey, Neil, Jesse Jackson.
Jesse Jackson's got a big pair. He's got some nerve, too. That's what his love child said. He's got a big pair. Put him on there. He ain't no Al Sharpton, but put Jesse on there, too. It takes a lot of gall and a big pair to be running around being the opportunist that he is. Other than being a reverend, does he do any work, like, for a living?
No.
No, but he goes and frees a lot of them hostages all the time. Too bad he didn't do too good of a job this last time. If they would have just asked him, maybe those four people will have their head back on. Daniel Pearl and Nicholas Berg and Ralph Johnson and what was this other guy's name?
The Korean guy?
The South Korean guy. We don't know.
Yeah. How are we going to say it?
Some young guy. WQAM, hello.
Yeah, can we put George on there?
And why would we do that, sir? Okay. He wants a date. WQAM, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good.
That's good. Listen,
Nip-tuck. What is it?
Nip-tuck.
Nip-tuck.
Did you guys watch that?
What the hell's that?
I did. I watched it.
Oh, George?
Yeah.
Hey, George, it's Bill.
I mean, talking to Neil, he doesn't watch
it. Oh, I didn't realize that. I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't watch that? Oh, Neil, you're missing a good show. People already told you about it, huh?
What show is that?
But you don't even want to watch it.
What show is it?
Nip-tuck.
It's about surgery, plastic surgeon, and all the instances around it where impropriety, all kind. It's just a great show. George should tell you about it. And sorry, I didn't realize.
Neil won't like it.
I won't like it. I'm not interested. Talk to George about Nip-tuck when he's on. He'll be on almost all summer long. Talk to him about it. I don't care about Nip or Tuck. I don't even care about Friar Tuck. How do you like that?
He was a jolly fat guy.
Well, aren't we all? Well, we're alive.
Friar.
5670560. Get that finger ready again, Josh. #560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. What current American political figure has got the biggest pair of cojones? Michael Moore has got it licked. 221. Janarino, though, 30. I mean, look at that, 221. When did we ever last take a poll? Even Rush never does it. Even W never wins a poll like this, right?
Never.
Michael Moore for president.
Oh!
221 votes. Janarino, 36. Howard Dean, 25. Richard Clark, 13. Ted Kennedy's got a dozen. Bottles of beer on the wall. Russ Feingold, 4. Al Gore, 4. Dennis Kucinich, 4. Joe Biden, this time, 3. Al Sharpton, 1. George W. Bush has got one. John Bro don't have any, and Jesse Jackson out of 324. They wouldn't know John Bro from from Joe Schmo. I guarantee you that right now. How many people in South Florida do you think ever heard of John Bro?
About 30, man.
And that is an exaggeration. That's really stretching it.
Go crazy.
Speaking of stretching it, you can take that muskrat and you can stretch it out. You can squeeze it like an accordion. You can do whatever you want. It still looks like a joke on your head. You know what I'm saying? People are laughing their ass off at you. So don't walk around with a mousy-looking piece. And certainly don't start with them holes in the head and have the blood dripping down your forehead like some silly-ass people I know. And don't start popping those dangerous pills that are only going to maybe kill you, but certainly not grow any hair back. If you want to get a great-looking head of hair, you want to talk to my good buddy Charles Alfieri, because he'd be the best. For more than 35 years, Charlie's appeared as a guest on Good Morning America, The Today Show, CBS Morning News. He's world-flaming because he offers you the most amazing natural hairline system you'll find anywhere. The most critical area of any hair system is that hairline, and Charlie's new skin-like hair system looks so great, it looks like real hair. It is 100% undetectable. And Charlie's guaranteed is this. You try his hair system for 30 days.
About 30, man.
You try it for a month, and after a month, if you don't love the way it looks and feels and smells, if you're not getting pawed and clawed at and squeezed and pleased, then return it for a full refund. So what's not to like? So if you want to look like a real mensch, younger and better than you ever thought you could again, change your life forever by making that one easy call. Call toll-free 1-800-321-2413. That's 1-800-321-2413, or check them on the web at charlesalfieri.com.
Sports Radio 560 QAM.
The coolest summer concert festival ever was Lilith Fair.
No way! The best one was Ozfest.
What? Come on, dudes. It's Lollapalooza.
Can't decide which live music festival was the best ever? Then this summer, attend the one that's sure to please everybody, Ozfairpalooza. At Ozfairpalooza, watch Ozzy bite the head off a bat as Sarah McLachlan protests his animal rights violations before Perry Farrell licks the blood off the stage floor. So if you and your alternative buddies can't decide which alternative concert to see this summer, then you have no alternative but to see the alternative to alternative festivals, Ozfairpalooza.
Can't wait. 12:17 at 560. And if you can't wait to see the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, it's coming out tomorrow. Maybe I'll read the Rex Reed review. It's 4 pages long. It's long. All wow. I'm reading. Up, 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 up. Michael Moore leaves no stone unturned, says Rex Reed. There are multitudes of shattering seminal moments in his brilliant bushwhacking documentary, Fahrenheit 9/11, that reveal more about cynicism, greed, and ineptitude in the U.S. government than you'll ever learn from any soundbite on the right-wing late-night cable channel Blabfest. But one will stay with me forever. Forget about the official reports from the White House about the activities of George W. Bush on that fateful morning of 9/11, insisting he learned about the Al-Qaeda attacks while meeting with Florida preschoolers and quickly dashed from the room to save the country. The truth is now revealed is that he was informed of the first attack on the World Trade Center before he even entered the schoolroom, and he decided to continue with his photo op anyway. There he is on camera when Andrew Card informs of the second plane and utters the fatal words, "We're under attack." But he continues to read "My Pet Goat" for another 7 minutes. His eyes sliding sideways in his puzzled face like a moron looking for a bathroom until his staff insists that he leave. He stayed for another half hour. If nothing else, that defining moment says volumes about what we can expect from the President of the U.S. in the center of a supreme history-altering crisis. He's just clueless. There are other moments that will impact some viewers and polarize others, so many, in fact, that you watch Fahrenheit 9/11 with disbelief and leave shaking with rage. Sometimes sarcastic, always funny, Mr. Moore is armed with facts and he presents them accurately and succinctly. The controversial filmmaker stated on the Today Show that the White House mouthpieces have denounced the film as outrageously false without seeing it, and right-wing Republicans have charged Mr. Moore with staging a left-wing conspiracy to influence the forthcoming election. Well, duh. For years, reactionary conservatives have been famous for staging right-wing conspiracies of their own to disgrace and discredit elected Democratic public officials. Maybe this is payback time. Whatever it is, everyone should see Fahrenheit 9/11 first before debating the issues. The purpose of any documentary is to influence opinion. But instead of the customarily droning voice that comments on the action and tells you what to think, this one asks tough logical questions, gets rational answers, and never loses its entertainment value. Mr. Moore, who's tackled corporate greed in Roger and Me and gun control bowling for Columbine, now feels driven and obligated to strip the facade from a swaggering bow-legged grammatically challenged bully and a cabinet that is beginning to look more like the Third Reich every day. He accuses them of lying about their motivations for declaring war against Iraq, a country that never threatened America in the first place, killing thousands of innocent civilians in retaliation for the acts of 9/11 aggression, although not one of the terrorists was from Iraq, and killing more than 800 of our own American kids, all from ethnic or working-class families. Nobody denies that Saddam Hussein was a monster, but not the Iraqi women and children who have been saved from one villain only to be burned and shot and maimed for life without arms and legs by villains in a different uniform. At the same time, Mr. Moore shows Mr. Bush justifying American atrocities against Saddam Hussein by actually saying to the camera, "He tried to kill my daddy." Like his daddy, he knows he might also get kicked out of the White House after serving only one term. Still, he pursues a war that is losing the hearts and minds of even the boys who fight it. The interviews with our soldiers on the front lines will make you weep, while earning the U.S. unprecedented heights of global hatred and distrust, even from long-standing allies. And he does it on the golf course, ignoring the pressing domestic issues of health care, education, social security, unemployment, and the economy, while instructing frustrated reporters to watch his next drive. In his first 8 months in office, he was on vacation 42% of the time. Meanwhile, the current occupants of the White House, bolstered by an irresponsible press that has never bothered to ask the right questions, have courted public support by hammering home the kind of fear and born-again religious ideology that keep people subservient and paralyzed. Mr. Moore is saying that in the lineup of fear factors, terrorists and sinners may have replaced communists and beatniks, but if you keep the people frightened enough, the bully always wins. The movie begins with the awesome night in 2000 when the U.S. Supreme Court decided the election, not the American voters, then unveils footage that was never reported on TV of the Bush inauguration limousine being pelted with raw eggs. Instead of the traditional walk to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, he was so afraid to leave the car he became the first president in history who was forced to sneak into the White House through the back door. Did you know that?
Nope.
Well, you do now. It was downhill from there, and Mr. Moore has obtained amazing film to illustrate the graphic two-hour slam dunk that follows. In the wimpy reportage that has dominated the media for 4 years, very few journalists have bothered to investigate the shroud of secrecy surrounding the Bush presidency that keeps the people ignorant to write about it to explain it. Mr. Moore does it with wit and cleverness. There's no doubt that he would do anything to prevent a Bush re-election, but there is no conjecture here, no embellishment. He doesn't need any. W and company are easy targets. Mr. Moore simply turns on his cameras and lets them hang themselves. He proves the $1.5 billion in profits the Bush clan has made from oil interest in the family of Osama bin Laden, the real perpetrator of the 9/11 disaster, then asks why, when all the aircraft were grounded after 9/11, the White House allowed several planes to fly around the country picking up the bin Laden family and protectively escorted 142 Saudis out of the country without interrogation, overruling the protest of the FBI. You can say, yes, but his family has denounced Osama, so what's the problem? The problem is that the Bushes were in business with his family at the same time that Osama was under surveillance as a suspected al-Qaeda terrorist and neglected to make a full disclosure. Mr. Moore also reveals W's military records, blotting out the name of a fellow pilot whose flight status was suspended for refusing to take a physical exam. The friend Bush was trying to protect turns out to be James R. Bath, who both managed the U.S. financial investments of the bin Laden regime and bankrolled the various oil interests of the Bush Brigade. Cut to W arrogantly stating, access is power. Then when he was investigated by the SEC, the man who got Bush out of hot water, Robert W. Jordan, who later was appointed ambassador, you guessed it, Saudi Arabia. The ironies pile up like body bags. Now that the crap has hit the oscillator, and he doesn't use the word crap, he uses the Spanish word for you-know-what. Now that the crap has used the oscillator, so to speak, Mr. Moore charges that the Bush administration has still, no, it's French, is still trying to hide evidence of its own stupidity by censoring 28 pages of the independent report by the 9/11 Commission. If you don't gasp at the sight of Mr. Bush dining with the Saudi ambassador with part of the Pentagon in flames in the background, this movie's not for you. No need to talk about the president welcoming the Taliban to the State Department, knowing they were harboring the man who bombed the USS Cole. No need to go into the plans to build an underground pipeline through Afghanistan, pumping money into a company owned by Vice President Cheney. Alarmingly, it's all gone unreported by an irresponsible press corps. With $860 billion currently invested by the Saudis in American business, no wonder our tax money pays for a six-man detail to protect the Saudi ambassador in Washington. But why does it take Michael Moore to tell us? This is all very dispiriting, but unless you've lost your sense of humor completely, you've just got to laugh when Mr. Moore intercuts Mr. Bush's tough talk from cowboy movies with actual footage of the corny cowboys in those movies saying exactly the same things. I've hardly scratched the surface of this electrifying documentary. Mr. Moore even cruises through Washington reading from a loudspeaker the idiotic USA Patriot Act, hastily passed by Congress without ever reading it, and chronicling the lunacy it's inspired. Groups and individuals harassed by cops for holding private club meetings, a woman who has refused admittance to an airplane because she was carrying breast milk. All diversionary tactics, says Mr. Moore, to distract the American people from viewing the corpses sent home from Iraq for funerals that have never once been attended by President Bush, or debunking the myth of weapons of mass destruction. People of all ages are shown voicing doubts about the kids who have died in a questionable war with no end in sight, and for what? Bush says, defending freedom. The movie says, making money. And talk about imbalance. Fact. Out of 535 members of Congress, only one has a child serving in Iraq. One of the most telling scenes in Fahrenheit 9/11 is Michael Moore standing outside the U.S. Senate with a microphone trying to convince members of Congress to enlist their own children for the war. Not a single senator or representative is willing to send his own children into harm's way. This is one of the few scenes in which the director appears at length. One of the things that makes this movie better and more convincing than his previous films is the way Mr. Moore stays mostly in the background, compiling facts and letting the evidence speak for itself. The Cannes Cognoscenti and the Limousine Liberals have already declared Fahrenheit 9/11 the blockbuster documentary of the year. Who knows how it will play in Pumpkin Creek? I think it should be required viewing for every American, but as usual, I fear the people who could learn the most from the issues it raises will avoid it like a fundraiser for free abortions. Mr. Moore's opponents will label it ideologically fueled partisan agitprop, which it is, but any visionary who tries to cultivate change is destined to harvest adversaries. With his usual fury channeled and under control, Mr. Moore sets out to prick, probe, and sound a wake-up call in an emotionally charged election year where the truth has been buried 6 feet under and succeeds with humor and bite. The result is undeniably galvanizing, immensely watchable, and damn good filmmaking. If it convinces one non-voter to think, it'll serve a purpose. The saddest and most infuriating thing I learned from Fahrenheit 9/11 is not the political hack work, but the reality of what a lightweight the president is in the context of American history. George W. Bush may be the first president of the U.S. who has brainwashed himself. That's Rex Reed's review.
I'm going to have to put them on that.
I can't wait when the movie comes out tomorrow. Big lines in New York, big lines in Detroit, Chicago, L.A., and on the Fudge Report. But it ain't playing too well in Pumpkin Creek. Yeah, just like the Clinton book. Oh, nobody's going to see it in Pumpkin Creek.
Where the hell's that?
Who the hell knows?
I know where
Probably next
is.
To Miss Fudge's place down around South Beach. Wherever the hell he's hanging it out. Screamer. 26 past noon at 560 WQAM. What a place, baby! What a place!
Oh!
Do-do-do-do-do.
I think I'm just playing that next week when you're on vacation. Do-do-do-do-do-do. 4 hours of it. Interspersed with an occasional one of those. You know, it's summertime. Days are getting longer, nights getting shorter, which means it's so important for you to get a good night's sleep. If you're not sleeping as well as you'd like to, call 1-800-MATTRESS today. Millions of people have dialed 1-800-MATTRESS for the lowest prices on the best brands in bedding. The easiest possible way to get you a great night's sleep. Save time, save money, improve your productivity, and brighten your disposition after a good night's sleep every night. Dollar Mattress is ranked numero uno in customer satisfaction, and they were winners of the 2004 Better Business Bureau Local Torch of Excellence Award. When you call 1-800-MATTRESS, you'll get the best prices on the best brands with delivery in that two-hour window on your schedule when it's convenient for you, and the best customer service in the business on top of that. Dollar Mattress has the complete line of the top names in the universe. They got them all. They got Sealy, Serta, King Coil, Simmons, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns, Bananas, Foster. From Kendall to Stewart, Palm Beach to Fort Myers, Dollar Mattress will deliver right to your door, the finest bedding anywhere. Everyone at QM, including yours truly, we've been calling 1-800-MATTRESS for a long time now. You should be doing the same. Check them out on the web if you like at mattress.com, or better yet, reach over, pick up that instrument, make that one easy call, and just sit there on your ass. They'll be knocking on your door no time at all. 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRESS.
Live and local, we're Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Coulter is a party girl. Party girl. Party girl. Ann Coulter is a party girl. Party girl. Party girl.
On her back, they tar spread. Nancy. Is good.
A moralist monster, a good girl who wants to be a media hoe and prefers it on top quiver. You want more on this lady? Here's what I'll give you. She's got a book to read about slandering. Nobody knows more about slandering out with a big stupid mouth than anyone to the left of Mangala. Such a good Christian girl, you want to strangle her. Pontificating who she's hating. Political pundit pontificating. Scrub on the floor and a Republican skanky hoe. She's a federalissimo, making liberal a dirty word, you know, in a miniskirt showing camel toe. Ann Coulter knows what hate can be in a miniskirt that smells fishy. She's a tall drink of water on the side of Law and Order with a back alley look. If you like your drugs taller, if you got the money, she'll spread those legs with a cigarette and a Chardonnay. Ann Coulter, political pundit, the angel of the right and an easy...
Ow! Doi, 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 doi.
1233, and that's a great lead into the story. We got it on our website today. It'll be much more effective if you read it to yourself, but it's very short because I'm going to have to put too many bleeps in it. Mark Ames writes in the New York Press, the Coulter Challenge. He says there was a time when an appearance by Ann Coulter inspired an uneasy mixture of rage and desire. Most won't admit it, but there was something sexy about an Aryan chivalry calling on her country to conquer and Christianize the Islamic heathen. I don't think I was the only one who read that notorious post 9/11 column of hers and thought, damn, I bet she's a good lay. But oh, how the mighty have fallen. Last week, Ann Coulter appeared on Hannity and Combs looking haggard and clinically insane. The night of the living dead circles underneath her eyes, the lifeless hair, it looks like she's been living on canned foods for the past 2 months. Ann looked like she should be pushing a Ann looked like she should be pushing a shopping cart, not politicking for Bush. It wasn't just what she said, like repeatedly accusing Holocaust survivor George Soros of being anti-Semitic. It was how she said it. She laughed insanely after every sentence fragment she uttered, a clear symptom of late-stage paranoid schizophrenia. The saddest part was when Hannity flashed the cover of Coulter's upcoming How to Talk to a Liberal. There she is, posing in full length in a tight black mini, a childless MILF wannabe, trying to pass her off as a 40-something far-right pinup. Ann's star is sagging, and apparently her handlers don't have the heart to tell her. Which brings me to my challenge. I don't believe Ann is half as sexy as she wants us to believe. In fact, I'm sure that Ann has all the sexual dynamism of a carton of fax paper. So here's my public challenge to Ann Coulter. I propose that you and I spend a night together in a four-star hotel. We will wine together. We will dine together. We will harden each other's nipples with erotic pillow talk about Senator Joe McCarthy. And yes, Ann, we will... And here's the dare. I'm betting that no matter how much you try, no matter what prostate massaging tricks a John Birch prom queen like you possesses, you, Ann Coulter, cannot make me. I'll bet the ideological house on it. If she can bring me to orgasm, I hereby promise to vote for George W. Bush. Moreover, I promise that I won't see Fahrenheit 9/11, and I promise to promote Bush's candidacy without irony in every article I publish between now and November. On the other hand, if Ann fails to make me by sunup, all I ask is that she dress like a genuine Republican woman, covering the knees, arms, and neck in a Barbara Bush burqa, or dressing in McCarthy hearings-era Pat Nixon tweeds. Be as bland as your heroes, Ann. It's time to stop fighting Father Time and accept the cruel workings of your Christian God. Beauty! I love it! 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. It's time for a walk-off performance. I'm hearing that Geldy may just walk off by the end of the week, which is tomorrow. Wouldn't that be great, right in the middle of the show?
Oh, come on.
Bo can handle it. I think I schmidt-canned that Barry Jackass story, because I probably should have saved it to go back to the very, that last sentence that I enjoyed so much.
Right. I'm sure it's still posted if you lost it.
Yeah, but it just didn't have the same, I think I schmidt-canned it. Either that or maybe it's in Barry's brown little brown paper bag. WQAM, hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Quick things. Fahrenheit 9/11 is playing on the Sunrise Boulevard Theater. I don't know the name of it. It's kind of an avant-garde theater right. On Sunrise Boulevard.
They show
Boulevard.
All the cutting-edge stuff.
Right, exactly. George
Sunrise. Denver. Sunrise and where?
Sunrise at Federal. You know where the Big Bend is.
Okay.
God, I wish I knew the name of it.
Well, they come together. Everybody knows what that is.
Pretty sure it is. And the other thing is, real quick, what's going to happen next week? Rose is coming back or not? Or does anyone care or no?
He's coming back. Don't buy into all the lies they feed and all this BS and the melodrama they try to stir up.
Why do they do that, by the way? Do they think the people are just stupid?
Yes.
Oh.
No, it's because they're stupid. It's because they think that we have to do this in order to generate a little bit of excitement. And plus, it's cheaper than going out and buying more billboards, I guess.
It's unbelievably, it's just contemptible for your audience. I mean, it just shows that...
It's contemptible for the audience. Plus, as far as credibility is concerned, it's a word you won't find in their vocabulary because evidently most of the people who run this radio station don't care about credibility. They don't understand that.
Well, if I remember right, you were the one screaming a long time about your own credibility. I think it's true. When you put an ad on or a spot, people actually believe you go to that restaurant or you go to that doctor.
Right, which is exactly why it won't promote that damn auction of theirs, that online auction, because it's a fraud. They're trying to make people think that it's like for charity, and in the meantime, they're just stuffing the money in their pocket.
When do you go to the summer schedule, just out of curiosity?
Not soon enough. Monday, July 5th, is that it? Yeah.
And then you're on Tuesday, Thursday, and George does the rest.
It's July and most of August, right. Thank the Lord.
George does a nice job filling some big shoes.
George, you know, they gave me a lot of crap when I first said, let's put George on there. Oh, gee, Neil, you must be crazy. And every show, every week, every time, he gets better and better and better. And quite frankly, I don't see, any drop-off much on our website, but there's a lot of interest, and he's doing just fine.
You know, the thing
is... must be crazy.
What is it?
I was just going to say, on the political stuff, he's right with you, stride for stride. He's very, very good, and his knowledge is really... I mean, it shows that you've done some research. I'm not trying to suck up, but you've done the work, and it's appreciated.
He knows his crap, man.
When he gets to the sex stuff and the other weird stuff, it gets kind of tedious. But, hey, everybody has their own style.
Well, he's desperate, man. Have a great day.
Good luck.
I always hear the opposite.
He's
when I hear the political stuff, it's tedious.
You know, those people are talking about those are the same ones that are watching Oprah ask Bubba about the stain on Monica's dress. I'm telling you, seriously, the people who talk the most about sex are the ones who are getting the least. I guarantee you that. Those are people that are talking about it very little. Those are the people that are banging their brains out. They're getting all they can handle and then some, all right? But those people, yeah. It's like kids in a locker room. Oh, gee, I did this. I know you didn't. You're only thinking about it. Who the hell are you kidding? I mean, it's so tragic. Here we have a president that's all... he was in office for 8 long, amazing years, and all they want to talk about is the impeachment, and he lied to his wife, and about the Monica, and doesn't he feel bad for her? Isn't it amazing how soon we're supposed to forget about how she told her girlfriend there, who she thought was her good buddy Linda Tripp, that she was bringing her presidential knee pads when she found out she was going to be an intern at the White House. She was bringing her presidential knee pads. Do I have to draw you a diaphragm?
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560. QAM.
One, I swear.
Linda Tripp's a bad pig. Linda Tripp's a bad pig. Linda Tripp's a bad pig.
All right. She looks like a guy.
Looks like a guy.
She's 7 feet wide.
7 feet wide.
She makes me want to fish fry.
But now, Linda tricks a fat
chick. A chick with a... with two smelly chins.
Two smelly chins.
A bloated and ugly fat dick.
But now, Linda...
She wants the media to stop abusing and ripping her in ash with songs like this. But we find that amusing from that self-promoting ugly bitch. How much were you paid?
How much were you paid?
For Monica's take?
For Monica's take?
By Richard C. Nelinsky?
That's what Linda trips a fat pig.
I wish you all would leave me alone. I'm just like everyone of you out there. I'm a human being, damn it. Leave me alone, don't bother me.
Just who do you think you're fooling? You that obnoxious, ugly, smelly pig. You're really that drudge in a dress. And a
wig.
1245 at 560 WQM. This poll today is going over like a pregnant pole vaulter in the heat of July in at the equator. But that's okay. What current American political figure has the biggest pair of cojones? We're looking for big ones, baby. Michael Moore, he's the only one, 270 votes. Janet Reno, she's got 54. She puts the other guys to shame. Howard Dean's only got...
about 30, man.
George W. Bush, 23. Of course, we don't really know exactly what those 23 votes mean. Richard Clark, 18. Ted Kennedy, 16. I hear that Richard Clark personally flew the plane that took the Saudis back to Saudi Arabia. Didn't you hear that?
That's right. It was a big plane.
Took all of Bin Laden's back. I don't know what that guy was talking about. Ted Kennedy, 16. Al Gore, 10. Dennis Kucinich, 7. Russ Feingold, 7. Joe Biden, 5. Al Sharpton, 5. Jesse Jackson's got 3. And John Breaux finally got 1 out of 449 votes. John Breaux. You know John Breaux?
No.
I didn't
no.
think so. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. WQAM, hello.
Hey, Neil.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to give you my version of what a Patriot Act should be. That would be where anybody that proposes war in the government, anybody in their immediate family from up to age 30, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, cousins, it's mandatory they go in the service.
Right, that
I don't care
good.
What their job is.
Uh-huh.
There are reservists right now who had jobs that had to leave their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody, including from the president on down, if war is that essential, then their kids go first.
Sounds good to me.
And here's another thing. I was drafted in Vietnam. I went in the years we had blind faith in our government. My father was drafted in World War II, but my son's not going to this war. And if Bush gets reelected, there's no doubt in my military mind there's going to be a draft again. And this is the most important election for you kids out there who are 19, 18, first-time voters. You don't realize how important this is. That's
I'm
all
with
I
you,
have
man.
To say, Neil.
Vote early and often, pal. Thanks.
Fine.
I'll see some of you people at the border if Bush gets elected again. Make no mistake about it. Although next Monday is the national election here, which is a nightmare. I always thought that the politics here were really silly, and they usually are.
Yeah.
But this time, the right-wing party, well, I forget what the Reform Party and the Alliance were the two right-wing parties. Then they merged out of desperation because they've been getting their ass kicked for a long time. And then the Liberals had a fund disappearing kind of scandal. And as a result, after Chrétien left office and Paul Martin took over and inherited the Liberal Party and was the Prime Minister, then they've got all of these problems. So the polls are like neck and neck. The Conservatives have been ahead, and now it's like even Stephen, and there may be a minority government. But the Stephen Harper, who's kind of like George W. Bush with a better hairdo and younger and a lot
yeah.
better speaker, he's like just another Nazi. And Michael Moore was here a few days ago and said, please, Canadians, don't make the same mistake we made in America. Don't get sucked in by the far right, which I'm afraid is what they're going to do, the fetus-hugging, homophobic right-wing crowd. So we'll see. So maybe don't come to the border yet. I'll let you know if the coast is clear.
All right.
567. Oh, maybe we'll see you at Amsterdam on the dam rack, okay? I wonder if that rat's still running around at McDonald's.
That damn
567-0560 on the dam rat. Pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. How's my buddy doing?
Do.
He's still doing it. My good, close, personal friend. Only by default. WQAM, hello.
Hey, can you add Maxine Waters to your list?
She's got a big pair. Maxine Waters. I like her a lot, even though a lot of people all love those right-wingers. Oh, she's a communist. Yeah. She's a little bit too far left-wing for them, but you know what? Too freaking bad. I didn't hear them people complaining about Newt Gingrich or Bob Barr or any of those other right-wing maniacs or Jesse Helms or Strom Thurmond or any of them. Maxine Barr. You got it? Maxine Barr. She just married Bob Barr.
Oh, my God.
Wow, wait till she wakes up in the morning. Maxine Waters. Sorry. Apologize. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Our topic today, will there be a hockey season? Does anybody care?
No.
And that's sad. We got that hockey draft on Saturday. Geldy's going to be talking to himself and Randy the Moeller Man.
Ow!
Well, at least you'll be on the air anyway, Geldy, which is something. I see him only doing like spot duty from here on out. You know, once Joe comes back.
You mean cutting spots?
No, I'm serious. I only see him like a little bit here, a little bit there. Because once we get to the fall and he's supposedly working for the organization, that'll be a good excuse to like ship him off. Although I got to be honest with you. Even though I'm going to have like most of the summer off and only working Tuesday and Thursday, I will get, if he and Mo are reunited by force, you know what I mean? In other words, by coercion.
Yeah.
I would get up early. I'd get up at 5 o'clock to hear some of that. Because that has got to be some of the most testies radio you have ever heard in your life. Can you imagine it?
It ought to be cold.
WQAM, hello. Hello, hola. Buenas tardes. Not there, huh? Too bad. WQAM, hello.
How you doing, Neil?
Pretty good.
I got somebody for your poll.
Okay.
I forgot his name, and I don't want to go look it up on the Google. The young mayor of San Francisco?
I have no idea who that is.
The guy who passed the law, even though the state, for the gay marriages.
Okay, the young lawyer, I remember who you're talking about. We'll find out. Mayor of San Francisco, we'll do a Google. Thank you. Okay. Do a little Google on that, Josh. Google it. Mayor of San Francisco?
He's Googling.
Is he Googling it?
Yeah, we could play some Google music.
Well, Google it with one ear over there on the computer, but make sure you keep your hand by that button because George is a little bit on edge. Let's hear some more of that protest music there from the Michael Moore promo from Fahrenheit 9/11. You got it?
Yeah, it's just
Oh, and you know what we didn't do this morning? Oh, wow, I feel so insufficient.
What did we not do?
I didn't have you feed me that Mo thing from yesterday.
Ah, damn it.
That promo, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's a must for tomorrow.
Right.
Tomorrow morning before the show.
Oh, my God.
Abu Ghraib.
That's where it is. Okay, that's enough of that. Joe Connison, New York Observer, he's one of the best. He writes, 9/11 panel becomes Cheney's nightmare. It's short, don't worry, it's not all that long. It's okay. The coast is clear. Oh, you're not going to be reading all that stuff again. I'll do whatever the hell I want. How do you like that? And the Greg Reed will... See, you know what, really? I want to digress just momentarily. Maybe I'll save this, because I want to go off on a rant. You know what pisses me off most?
What's that?
And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about... Because I don't hear the station that much, because number one, I'm not into sports, and number two, I'm not there, so I'm not going to sit around in here listening, you know. But here has come down all of these edicts, okay, from the FCC and from corporate and all of this... This tremendous chill that we're operating under is on. Just like that last bit that I played. Now, if I want to pat myself on the back, I almost kind of like, because I auditioned it ahead of time during the break to make sure what I was going to have to dump in there. I knew there was something. A chick with a, you know?
Right.
And I almost kind of like nodded off while I was going on. And you'll notice I just, and then when the echo it repeated, I still got another one of those in there.
I think
that some of us have done one hell of a damn good job, if I do say that myself, under impossible circumstances. If the audience... We're not putting on about this. I mean, we can't say crap anymore.
And half of them do believe that we're just
overreacting. The fart sounds, words that we used, the whole... I mean, stuff that I've been saying on the air for 25 years we can't say anymore. But instead of that, instead of saying, boy, these guys are really... You know, Greg Reed, our leader, is busy worried about, oh, well, does Neil know something we don't... You know, you're a lunatic, man. You have no appreciation for what goes on, for what other people have done for you and made you into. And I always, every time he comes in, which is very rarely, thank goodness, when I'm there, but when he comes, oh, great book, you know, I always say, oh, we couldn't have done it without you, Greg, sarcastically, as if he's going to get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Couldn't have done it without you and your brilliant leadership. This guy wouldn't know where to stick a microphone. If his life depended on it. Wouldn't know how to turn on a mic switch if you held an Uzi to his head. Where that big bald spot is. Where he keeps picking at it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes. I'm wrestling with a fax machine right now, though.
Why is that?
Because, you know, multi-page, 20-page stories coming across and everything. But somebody did send a link to where your movies are showing in Toronto. And I sent you the link. I typed it in. It was, you know.
I deleted that because I thought it was the one that you said you couldn't find it.
No. I sent you a new one just now.
Oh, I see.
The link is a million letters long, so
I mean, I did find four places where they're showing it starting tomorrow, but my God, Mississauga and places with
Toronto
me. I mean,
places listed here.
Like downtown?
I guess. I don't know where these
like
places
somewhere,
are.
Like somewhere like in the city? I mean,
Toronto,
as opposed to like 30 miles
Canada
away?
Famous Square, Famous Players, Silver City, Yorkdale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Oh, thank
you. Thank
the Lord. Thank
you. Good.
Thank you, listener.
I guarantee you there won't be any theaters censoring it here. In fact, keep in mind that he had to come up here to do a Bowling for Columbine and film it here because he couldn't film it anywhere in the USA because nobody would let him do it and nobody would, like, fund it. In fact, you remember in Bowling for Columbine when he walked around the streets here in Toronto from door to door. I mean, granted, it was staged, but nevertheless, the point was well taken, and people didn't lock their doors. What a concept, because they're not scared. They're not scared schmittless because they're afraid somebody, their next door neighbor is going to kill them, which is one of the reasons that they're so much friendlier and less uptight here is because they're like a little bit more civilized, if you catch my drift. I mean, we're getting there. We're starting to, make a little move, make a little catch up. They thought it was catch up, turned out to be the real thing. Joe Connison writes, do I have time before the break? I better not. Better do, got
Don't
a 4-minute break.
Right.
Huh?
Don't do it.
We're doing one hell of a job here for you, Greg. And in the meantime, what are you doing? And then having Muff call in the middle of our show disrupting our lives? Some piece of crap you are, man. You can't complain about the appreciation we get from him for the phenomenal job that we're doing under impossible circumstances. And then, just because we're working so hard to try to keep everything on an even keel, he's working feverishly to see if he can't help us lose the license.
Live and local, this is Sports Radio 560, QAQAM.
Hello, this is Deloise, and you know who. Mama be listening to her angel, Neil Rogers, on 1-2-Hour.
Oh, what is that?
Finally got a call him, the number one rated Mo Howard and David in his show, at least according to my aspirations. Stay away from me. I don't even know how you have children. Miramar, hello.
Yes, I want your take on Jay Fiedler.
Oh, well, Jay Fiedler is a great quarterback and a good Jew.
I like Jay Fiedler.
Well, not to mention he's got extraordinarily smooth buttocks.
Oh, yeah!
You've got to be careful what you say here.
Okay, Doc. Thank you, Mo.
No, wait a minute. Don't go.
But I have nothing else to say.
Well, how about this? How's the weather down there in Miramar?
I'm right down the street from you.
Oh, yeah.
I have to go.
Oh, wait. By the way, something.
No, I have to go.
Look, I tell you what. I'll hold you over the break. How's that, huh? I'll give you one of my old tank T-shirts. How's that? No, wait! That was the only caller we had.
The veins on your nose is glowing again.
Wow!
You got big purple veins on your nose and on your face. And around those oozing pimples, you call eye. If you go look in the mirror, you'll see a roadmap of insolency. You got your hippies on, way to die.
My nose glows when something stings. Almost every day, I think. And my veins, they start to tickle. My adenoid, doy. Yeah, I look like the fall of the bag. That's because I'm a grumpy old bag. With a nose that's filled with purple veins.
Something like that you want to see on Science Channel Discovery. I know that the bleeding purple veins.
WQM 92 killed in multiple attacks in Iraq. The Iraq attack is going on, and it's still 6 days before the deadline, before the big turnover, handover. You take it, we don't want it, the hot potato.
Oh, it's going to be great.
A wave of insurgent bombings and ambushes in key Iraqi cities killed 92 people already today, and terror mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi has emerged as a key suspect. You know, the guy that we thought was dead, and then we thought he had one leg, and then we thought he's beheading all these people, and whatever. Violence rocked Baghdad, Fallujah, Ramadi, Mosul, and Baquba. The assaults came 6 days ahead of the scheduled handover of power from the U.S.-led coalition to Iraqis. About 285 people were wounded in the attacks, according to Iraqi police and health officials. Hours after the near-simultaneous strikes, the military wing of the Unification and the Jihad, a group linked to al-Zarqawi, issued a statement on a website that claimed responsibility for attacking five police stations in Mosul, two locations in Baquba, one in Ramadi, another in Baghdad. And on it goes. It's going to be really, really ugly. And then, of course, and then it'll get worse. We have no business being there in the first place. And like that New York Times, like that anonymous CIA guy said, how come we're, like, doing all of this? How come we're not finishing off Al-Qaeda?
Shut up.
What we're doing is falling. I can't forget that ad. I know it was in the New York Times. I think it might have even been in the Herald and the Sun Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
Right after 9/11, we were chasing after Osama Yamama. And there he was pointing, like, Osama wants you to invade Iraq. Osama wants you to do that. And then Bush got right into it. Got sucked right into it. Can I say that?
No.
Kevin in Fort Lauderdale, and that thing you emailed me, Hotmail has blocked that potential dangerous. Well, why don't you just print it out and fax it to me?
Okay.
Would be so much easier for me. Huh?
I did print it out, and I'll email it
so
a different
doubt,
way
the
as
fax
well.
So when it's fax it
all
along.
All of the above.
Anyway, Kevin in Fort Lauderdale says Fahrenheit 411 is, 411, that's a watered-down version, is opening tomorrow at the Gateway Theater in Sunrise, Federal Highway in Fort Lauderdale. No, that's the one they were talking about, the Gateway. That's near Il Molino?
See.
Right next door to it. Sunrise Cinemas at Sunrise 2. That's Pine Island at the Northwest 44th Street. Pine Plaza and Sunrise. Also, the Intercoastal Mall, Sunrise Cinemas, 3701 Northeast 163rd Street, Sunny Isles Boulevard, North Miami Beach. And Sunrise Cinemas at Meisner Park in Boca, 301 Plaza Real, US 1 North of Palmetto Park Road. And for more locations, you can go to sunrisecinemas.com. And Marcus says, oh, that's right, well, we already know that. Marcus, who goes there to see gay movies. The Gateway in Fort Lauderdale will be, she says, he got his tickets, and the evening screening for tomorrow night is already sold out. How do you like that? Thanks, Marcus. Thank you, whoever else. Kevin. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon Wireless line. Rumors around the building. Joe Rose will be back Saturday at the Miccosukee. In fact, the rumor I'm hearing is that Depot's going to be doing, they're cutting some deals in the back. And
Cutting cards.
He'll be cutting something. The cheese, maybe. And then next week he'll probably be back. That's what I'm hearing. I think that he finally got a hold of Greg, and they had their held their meeting, and that was it. And all of this crap, all of this stuff, and very jackass tomorrow, they just keep diddling you people around. Thank goodness we don't do that on this show. Just the sports shows, that's another place where we kind of, like, draw the line. We separate ourselves from our fine colleagues just a little bit. Not that we don't want to be lumped in with a bunch of sport holes, but we don't. Let's see, that thing just come over here. There we go. Thank you so much. Oh, all over the place.
And I
excellent.
Sent it another way that probably will work.
This is outstanding. Great. Well, I don't want to go off to Mississauga, but there's certainly some here that are within 100 miles. That's a beautiful thing. Thank you so much. Joe Connison writes, 9/11 panel becomes Cheney's nightmare. With the prescience that often accompanies a queasy conscience, Vice President Dick Cheney opposed an independent investigation of the 9/11 attacks from the very beginning. In the spring of 2002, Mr. Cheney sought to intimidate Senator Tom Daschle, then the Senate Majority Leader, from undertaking or authorizing such an investigation. Any probe of the events leading up to the catastrophe might somehow damage the war on terrorism, he warned. The Bush administration lost that fight when Congress authorized the creation of the 9/11 Commission, officially known as the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks on the United States, and the president reluctantly signed that legislation. Reluctantly. Now we know what lay behind the vice president's troubled premonitions. The commission's activities haven't hampered American action against terrorism, but its hearings and reports have brought considerable discredit upon the Bush administration, not only for the administration's handling of the terror threat before 9/11, but most recently for White House propagandizing about alleged links between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. During the past week, coinciding with the commission's final public hearings, its staff released a report that rejected the White House claims of collaboration between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden against the United States. On that murky issue, the report's words are worth quoting in full. A senior Iraqi intelligence official reportedly made three trips to Sudan, finally meeting bin Laden in 1994. Bin Laden is said to have requested space to establish training camps as well as assistance in procuring weapons, but Iraq apparently never responded. There have been reports that contacts between Iraq and al-Qaeda also occurred after bin Laden had returned to Afghanistan, but they do not appear to have resulted in a collaborative relationship. Two senior bin Laden associates have adamantly denied that any ties existed between al-Qaeda and Iraq. We have no credible evidence that Iraq and al-Qaeda cooperated on attacks against the United States. The White House propaganda campaign leading up to the invasion of Iraq was so successful that polls once showed nearly 70% of the American public believed that Iraq was somehow responsible for the 9/11 atrocities. Along with Saddam's mythical nuclear arsenal and other weapons of mass destruction, his alleged links to al-Qaeda provided the chief argument for the Bush-Cheney war policy. Although President Bush has since admitted there is no evidence that the deposed dictator was behind the 9/11 attacks, he sent a letter to Congress in 2002 indicating he knew otherwise. He said, "I've also determined that the use of armed forces against Iraq is consistent with taking necessary action against those nations who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on 9/11. In his mission accomplished speech aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln on May 1, 2003, the president boasted, "We've removed an ally of al-Qaeda." Since then, Mr. Cheney has also repeatedly contended that Iraq directly assisted al-Qaeda, although he hesitates to suggest that Saddam was behind 9/11. He claims that Iraq assisted Osama bin Laden's criminal associates with bomb-making and with training in the use of biological and chemical weapons. So the commission staff's latest findings infuriated the vice president. His echo in the New York Times, op-ed columnist William Sapphire, denounced them as the work of a runaway staff. Mr. Sapphire forgot to mention, however, that the commission's executive director, Philip Zelikow, is a Republican and a close associate of National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. Attempting to rebut the offending report, Mr. Cheney told an interviewer that he probably has more information about the relationship between al-Qaeda and Iraq than the commission does. If so, he should be asked to present that information to the commission, whose chairman, Thomas Kane, and vice chairman, Lee Hamilton, have tried to downplay their stark differences with the White House. They have yet to answer the vice president's taunts with a firm request for any additional proof he may possess about Iraq and al-Qaeda. To fulfill their responsibility to the nation, Mr. Kane and Mr. Hamilton need to show that they'll insist on the truth no matter how much embarrassment they may prove to the president and the vice president, and since Mr. Cheney's taken upon himself the nasty task of discrediting the commission, he may also be asked to answer some more questions about his own war on terrorism. According to a knowledgeable source, the commission has not yet investigated the White House counterterror task force that the vice president was appointed to chair in the spring of 2001. That task force repeatedly held no significant meetings and achieved nothing of consequence during the 6 months leading up to September 11th. Before the 9/11 commission completes its work and issues its final report this summer, Mr. Cheney should be asked to explain why, despite all the warnings about al-Qaeda, he did so little. And that's all we want to know. One simple question.
Why?
Yeah, should be easy. Shouldn't it?
We know one.
5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. We apologize, the poll question today isn't conducive to a lot of names being called in because, let's face it, it's hard finding balls. Can we even say balls?
No.
It's hard finding
bats.
We have them at WQAM.com for auction, though.
Oh, we got all kinds of balls for auction.
Balls,
on the.
Yeah.
That's right. If you want to give money to the Beasleys, then we can say balls and we can auction them off. One of the great scams, like I said, Greg is fiddling while QAM is burning. There he is, playing the fiddle. In fact, maybe that's why he sounds so much like Jack Benny lately. Ever think about that? Ever see the two of them together?
No.
No. Maybe he'll elope with Mary Livingston. That would be a match made in heaven. What current American political figure has the biggest pair of cojones? Michael Moore, 288. Big ones. Big, gigantic, humongous. Janarino, well endowed with 61. W's got 38, Howard Dean, 34, Richard Clark, 21. He's flying that plane back right now. Ted Kennedy, 19, Dennis Kucinich, 12, Al Gore's got 10, Al Sharpton, 8, Russ Feingold, 8, Joe Biden, 6, Jesse Jackson, 4, John Breaux's got 1. What do you know? Good old John Breaux, he's got 1. He's the only one who voted against the so-called indecency bill in the Senate the other day. Maxine Waters don't have any, and Gavin Newsom, who the hell's that?
The mayor of San Francisco.
Well, that's the mayor of San Francisco. I could have told you that. Not. Never heard of him. Well, I did back in the day when they were showing that stuff. Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, he has the big so far at a 510 vote. 113 at QM. Now, did we find if the Mad Dog is back in town? Is he still in Iceland? Is he still in limbo?
We didn't find out.
We did not find out. Well, Clarence is probably busy trying to get his story straight with Duff and Greg. They're probably in another big meet. If you're sick and tired of your PC being attacked by browser pop-up windows, being watched by spyware, and getting nothing but virus emails from your friends and coworkers, the easiest way to deal with those bugs is to get you a Macintosh from Mac Center, the Apple specialist in Fort Lauderdale. The Macintosh is built on an entirely different base than Windows, so all those PC pests just can't hurt the Mac. The technology experts at Mac Center can show you that it's easy to change over to the Mac with thousands of programs available, including ones you already are used to, like Microsoft Word and Excel. They'll even take your old computer as a trade-in. So make the change today by calling Mac Center at 954-486-5500. You won't get a better deal on your Mac or iPod anyplace else in town because Mac Center is the home of the 5% rebate on every purchase. Come in before June 30th.
About 30, man.
Which means you've got almost a week to register to win the hard-to-find iPod Mini. That's the Mac Center on Commercial Boulevard. Call them at 954-486-5500. And be sure and tell them that Neil sent you by for extra savings when you stop into the Mac Center.
Live and local, this is 560.
The radio is all yours now.
QAM.
She can crack a walnut with her two massive cheeks. If you do something she doesn't like, man, she freaks. She's a cold, witchy diva, a wild banshee. And now Jennifer Lopez is Mrs. Mark Anthony. She picked Mark over those two other clowns. Weighs more than him by like 70 pounds. She's a screaming lunatic who stands to go pee. And now Jennifer Lopez is Mrs. Mark Anthony.
Oh my God. And the flags that have passed. Mark should be okay if he keeps his mouth shut. His new lady's ego is big as her butt. And no one is happier than P. Diddy.
Rectum.
Cause Jennifer Lopez is now Mrs. Mark Anthony. Why on God's green earth would Mark drop to one knee? She's gone through two husbands, now Mark is lucky number three.
Probably Muff can answer that question, you know, about dropping to one knee. 119 at 560 WQAM. This is what we're up against, boys and girls. Texas Republicans urge to drop the phrase Christian nation.
Oi!
A leading Jewish group this week asked the Republican Party in President Bush's home state of Texas to stop calling the United States a Christian nation in its platform. The two words we're looking for here are Farbissina Goyim. That's correct. Okay? That's what we're up against. If you want to know who the enemy is, I'll tell you right now, Farbissina Goyim. If you don't know what that means, look it up. Ask Merriam-Webster, okay? Or ask Ben Webster, Benny the Whip.
I'll ask Miriam Oliphant.
Ask Mark Webster at Northville Downs. The Anti-Defamation League, which fights anti-Semitism and religious discrimination, said it was dismayed about the platform plank, another language in the document that describes as a myth the separation of church and state, which is enshrined by the U.S. Constitution and court rulings. America was founded on the belief that freedom of religion requires that the government take no official stance on or participate in religious activity or religion, the group said in a letter to Tina Benkiser, the chairwoman of the Texas Republican Party. In addition to long-established Jewish communities, Texas is home to a sizable population of Muslims, members of what experts say is one of the fastest-growing religions in America. Benkiser said in a statement, Texans believe the party represents their beliefs and values. Our platform is an acknowledgement that most of our nation's founding fathers had a deep faith in God, she said. Absolutely untrue. The Republican Party of Texas affirms that the United States of America is a Christian nation and the public acknowledgement of God is undeniable in our history, reads the plank in the party's 2004 platform, which was recently adopted. It is a Christian nation. The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting free exercise thereof. The Anti-Defamation League said that Texas Republicans should modify the language in their platform to reinforce principles that unite our diverse nation. The group said that the party kept similar language in its platform in 2002. Farbissina Goyim, that's what we're talking about. And that's your president with his faith-based charity, all this other pandering, the Jerry Falwells, the Pat Robertsons, the Jimmy Swaggerts, the James Dobsons, all these other people who used to be on the lunatic fringes, the Gary Bowers of this country. Now they've got the keys to the kingdom, baby. They're running the roost. That's all I can tell you.
Oy.
Farbissina Goyim. The hate mongers. And you wonder why the rest of the world hates us like poison and is scared shitless of us? Now they will fear you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
and speaking of that, you let me almost forget all that great homework I did yesterday.
Mr. Pentangelo. Mr. Pentangelo. Were you a member of the Corleone family? Did you serve under Capo regime Peter Clemenza, under Vito Corleone, also known as the Godfather?
I never knew no Godfather. I have my own family, Scully.
Then you are contradicting a sworn statement you previously made to me and signed. I ask you again, sir, here and now, under oath, were you at any time a member of a crime organization headed by Michael Corleone?
I don't know nothing about that. Oh, I was in the olive oil business with his father, but that was a long time ago, that's all.
We have a sworn affidavit. We have it. Your sworn affidavit that you murdered on the orders of Michael Corleone. Do you deny that confession? And do you realize what will happen as a result of your denial?
Look, the FBI guys, they promised me a deal. So I made up a lot of stuff about Michael Corleone, because that's what they wanted. But it was all lies. Everything. And I kept saying, Michael Corleone did this, and Michael Corleone did that. So I said, yeah, sure.
I love it. That's one of my very favorite scenes. At any rate, Frankie Pentangeli. Don't worry, Frankie, Five Angels. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, sure.
U.S. war crimes immunity bid fails. The U.S. has given up trying to win its soldiers' immunity from prosecution at the new International Criminal Court, for which we have nothing but contempt, by the way. U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan had warned the Security Council not to renew the measure, partly because of the prisoner abuse scandal at
Abu Ghraib.
Washington withdrew its resolution after it became clear it would not get the required support. For the last 2 years, it had secured special status for U.S. troops, arguing they could face malicious prosecutions. The United States has decided not to proceed further with consideration and action on the draft at this time in order to avoid a prolonged and divisive debate, said the U.S. Deputy Ambassador to the U.N., James Cunningham. We're dropping action on this resolution. I wonder if he's related to Richie Cunningham. You think?
Or Tom Bosley.
Tom Bosley. Got to say it right. Tom Bosley.
567-0560,
#560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Don't forget, Geldy's on the way out.
Ow!
That's the MS of QAM. I should reprint that, so I should read it again right toward the ass end of the show. WQAM, hello.
Neil?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my nomination would be for Barney Frank.
Barney Frank's got a big pair.
And honorable mention, when Harry Belafonte called Colin Powell a Jamaican house Negro, I love that. Man. That was
okay.
Great.
I'll pass it along to him. And his daughter, too. And his lovely daughter. Barney Frank, and put Harry Belafonte on there too, okay? He's the old banana boat. Maybe there's something under that boat.
Yeah, black tarantula.
567-0560, #560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Isn't it amazing how Dick Armey is now working with the ACLU? That to me is one of the most astonishing things. I guess we don't have that under Armey, do we? Oh, we have it under
Armey. I like peace and quiet, man. I don't need to listen to Barney Fagg. Barney Frank rang it in my ear because I made a few bucks off a book I worked on.
Live from the Laurel, we're
Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Back in the day when someone done us wrong, we didn't take their crap. In Pearl Harbor, when the Japs dropped their bombs, we bombed them back. And now the Saudis, they hit us hard. And on our cars, our little flags wave.
Do, 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 do.
As that Saudi loving retard points the bombers the wrong way. And I'm embarrassed to be an American.
Absolutely.
Where they follow Bush like sheep. The United States of arrogance, led by Bush and his family. Greed, they got this country. Handling towards the darkest days in our history. I don't want to be a Pax American in the USA. What's a few thousand innocent lives? Stop living in the past. If you want that SUV to drive, you're gonna need more gas. It's the greatest country in the world. They train us to believe. And anyone who says that obviously can't afford to leave. And I'm embarrassed to be an American, where we patriotically wave a flag in one hand with our head in the sand and blindly follow the powers that be. Apathetic, watching state run news on a 65-inch screen. Scratch your part, everything's okay in the USA.
132 at 560. WQAM. So anyway, if you missed the beginning of the show, if you don't get the Herald, congratulations. But Barry Jackass wrote a piece this morning that seemed to stimulate quite a bit of contretemps around a building. I guess Mo and the Big talked about this at length this morning, right? I'm sure you must have been listening.
Oh, yeah, every minute.
Oh. What about Josh? Did you hear any of it?
Nah.
Why, you don't listen? Come on. You're one of that sports crowd, man. Dave Van Boringen couldn't speak to you if you're not listening to a QAM Sports. Anyway, it was just a joke. Joe Rose taking a week off. WQAM future up in a year. What Barry meant, whoever made that headline makes it seem like the future of the station. And, of course, if we leave it in Greg's hands, that might be accurate. The future of the station might be up in the air. He's turning that license into a piece of Swiss cheese if he don't cut the crap. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Well, more like
what?
Like that. And to answer Duff's question or Greg's question on behalf of his pimp Duff, who he had call me at 11 o'clock this morning right in the middle of the show, yes, I do know something, okay? I do know something, and that is that I'm working for a lunatic. That's what I do know. A certifiably insane person. That's what I know. That goes without saying.
You are not alone, guys.
I know.
Wreck them.
In the latest installment, Barry writes, of WQM's never-ending soap opera, morning host Joe Rose said Wednesday he's frustrated that general manager Greg Reed has not made time to meet with him, although, of course, this is in this morning's paper, but they met yesterday. So either they met too late to beat the deadline, although I'm sure that the deadline at the Herald is like 2 or 3 in the morning, but at any rate, said that Greg Reed hasn't had made time to meet with him, doesn't know if he wants to return to the station. Meantime, Reed said he hasn't decided if Rose will be invited back.
Oh, my God.
How do you like that? He hasn't decided if he'll be invited back because whatever the reason. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, maybe he just said something new. I'm trying to find something that I can play. Oh, I know what it is.
You can kiss my rear end.
That's about the only one. Well, we can play that one. We can also play
Howard from Boca.
And that's about it. In fact, I wonder what Joe Rose really thinks of Greg.
He is one good-looking guy.
Anyway, those are the ones we can play. Rose, the lead sportscaster at NBC6, as it's called for some bizarre reason, Channel 6, is taking this week off from WQM and says he's been working without a contract for 8 months since replacing the fired Scott Farrell. He said he's been trying to meet with Reed to get his situation clarified and determine the direction of the station. I think the direction of the station is south. We're going south. He also wants to know if he'll continue to work alone on his 8 to 10 a.m. show or be paired with somebody unctuous such as Steve Geldy Geldstein. The GM doesn't have time to talk to me, Rose said. Reed continues to mull what to do with his morning lineup. After smashing it into little pieces, he hasn't got a clue what to do. He said he's still considering picking up Howard Stern's syndicated show, but that would leave the station vulnerable to potential FCC fines.
Absolutely correct, sir.
Airing Stern's show might also be poorly received by Dolphins management. Well, who gives a crap about that? Too bad. Oh, now they're getting like the Hurricanes through the same crap with Donna Shillelagh that didn't like that We Got Balls billboard. Remember that? How we caved in on that crap?
I do.
That was a disgrace. Donna, and as a matter of fact, I'm surprised she's not on a poll today. She's probably got a pair
of
balls.
Oh.
Because Goldstein, now here comes the best part of Barry's column this morning. I wonder if he was eating, gnawing on his salami sandwich when he wrote that. Because Goldstein will be doing Panthers radio play-by-play next season, Reed said he's not sure whether he wants to continue using him on a talk show.
No!
Mo Howard, Davidson, and Geldstein, paired on the 5 to 8 a.m. show, are not expected
absolutely
to continue working together long term.
No.
How do you like that?
No.
They're not expected to. And this, keep in mind, is coming from Greg. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, assuming Joe comes back on Monday, there are two chances that Geldy is going on the show with Joe Rose. None, and much, 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 much less than none. There's no chance. Joe don't want him on there. Joe is doing great. Joe Rose is our hero. He's getting big numbers in there, 8 to 10, without putting the license on the line, which is quite a novelty. For us.
Lately, yeah.
Yeah. So, but doing a little bit too well. Joe, you did a little bit too well in these last couple of trends now, that book and then this last, doing a little bit too well. I mean, who the hell wants fives and sixes in men there in 8 to 10 in the morning? I think in this last trend, he even goosed up the other one before.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to mention Moe's name. Don't want to get him his nose or his hair out of joint. So that's the latest contretemps of QAM, and that's why everybody sounds a little bit goofier than usual. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T and Verizon wireless line. Look at the way those phones have dropped off to a precious one. WQAM, hello. Like I said, to a precious none. Well, that's okay, because the poll, I'm sure, is closed at this point, right? And these people, I mean, maybe they got some denim left, but that's about all the material they got. Nothing. 5670560, pound 560 on the AT&T to buy Panther season tickets or not to buy. That's our topic today. What? Huh? Geldy, call them the Panther games. Will you listen? Will you laugh? Will you wet your pants? WQAM, hello.
George said Nazi.
WQAM, hello.
Say, what's that guy that goes,
he's an idiot. WQAM, hello.
Neil.
Yes, sir.
I got a guy, Charles Rangel.
Charlie Rangel, he's got a humongous pair like watermelons, thank you. Well, that was not a racial comment. Charlie Rangel, got it. No W on that, by the way, it's just with an R. Yeah, George said Nazi, I just said Nazi myself.
Yeah.
In fact, even our good friend Rick Shaw with that sawdust cap he's got, he said...
It's a lie. I am not a Nazi.
See, he said Nazi, too.
How could you not see the humor in that?
Yeah, what a revelation, huh? Boy, I'm telling you, that mouth breather, a 2x4 wouldn't do justice.
No, put a nail in it. A spike.
Yeah, with a rusty nail on the end.
One of those Jesus
and just,
crucifix
just
nails.
Squash his head like a grapefruit. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Just watch everything. I mean, all this beheading crap that's going on
right.
Lately. Just watch. We wouldn't even waste time doing that. Just watch it all splurt like into a... Oh, God.
I'd be heading to see that right now.
Into an oozing mass, just kind of like squeezing that boil. And by the way, it was a boil.
Live and local. This is Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Audio selection from the Clinton Memoirs.
Sex, sex, sex. Sex, diplomacy, sex, sex, Big Mac, sex, 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 Monica, what was I thinking? Sex, 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 Big Mac, sex, 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 International House of Pancakes, Hillary. Whoa, how did that get in there?
The Clinton Memoirs at bookstores this summer.
144 at 560 WQM. Here's a little inside info. I just got a fax from Clarence. He just gives me one quote from that meeting with Joe and Greg yesterday, Joe Rose and Greg Reed. Because
yeah,
Joe made it very clear he don't want Geldy on that show, and Greg asked him, well, what the hell do we do with Geldy?
I dump the bitch right now.
That was the quote. How do you like that? What was it?
I dump the bitch right now.
Now, do you have that that Mo Howard Davidson thing? Because I feel so bad. I feel we've neglected the audience by not playing that today.
Right.
In case anybody...
Josh has it's in the audio vault somewhere. I don't even know what it's called. And,
it's in there somewhere.
In
other words, you're leaving that thing like floating around, like in the etheric somewhere. That's too valuable.
Well, I told him to put it in the DCS ASAP because you never know how long those kinds of things last.
In the DCS ASAP.
Right.
LMNOOP.
BFD. And I don't know if he did or not. Not ask him, but he went to the bathroom or something and hasn't come back.
He went to the bathroom and hasn't come back, what, about 12:30?
Something like that.
I see.
Well, during the last break, he ran out of here and
hasn't bothered coming back.
No.
Well, I'll be damned. Well, he must be learning from somebody else we know. In fact, maybe he's on the floor. You better take a look.
No, I watched him leave
learning from his predecessor that rolling around the floor with his eyes popping out of his head. There he goes.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Josh, where we have that?
Yeah, where the hell did you go, Josh? We finally had something to ask you, and you're out there taking a leak with Josh Beckett in the pubic tea room out there. What were we asking him?
About that drop, about that line, about that.
Oh, yeah, about the Mo Howard David drop-in from yesterday. Do we have it? Is it handy, or is it...
I stand in front of you now. 2 years later and say, it took me a little while, I'm a little slow learner, but, Neil, I apologize.
Oh! It's radio.
You are the truth.
Don't let me forget tomorrow morning. Now, and we got to get that big... You don't need him on there. Get him off of there, Greg. Get that big old... He's okay, but send him out to sell guacamole on the street corner. Maybe you can smear some guacamole on the sandwiches over there at the sub-center for Chuck, you know? How's Chuck doing? Seen him lately?
Yeah.
Good guy.
I saw him this morning.
Well, how do you like that? See, there's my psychic powers again. When's the last time I mentioned Chuck?
Like a month or so.
No, longer than that.
Several.
And you saw him this morning, and I mentioned Chuck from the sub-center. I could put that damn, what's-her-name, out of business.
Mickey Dane.
Oh, forget about Mickey Dane. I'm talking about Miss Cleo. Put her out of business and Bo Griffin and all those other Shirley Tweeters, all those other fake psychics, man. I really have psychic powers.
I know.
I don't have no Austin powers, but I have psychic powers. Anyway, AOL employee charged in theft of screen names. This is this is one more reason not to have AOL, as if you needed an extra reason. Don't we all hate AOL like poison? And, of course, we say that, but everybody out there has got AOL, which is why we get a limited number of votes on our poll.
Canceled it.
Why do they have it, though?
They have kids, or old people, or women.
Well, I'm an old people, and I don't have no AOL. Yeah. And by the way, if the Humper is listening, which I doubt because he's at the Seminoles cutting deals with Defoe out there, but if Hank is listening, would you get yourself a computer and stop being an old fuddy-duddy? I heard him, I guess, when I was down there.
Yeah.
And somebody was talking about, oh, well, we don't have... No, I don't think so. I think it was I was here. I was monitoring briefly while I was tapping out some stories on a computer. And somebody made some comment about, well, we don't have any computer internet here. He said, oh, well, that makes two of us. And he's still bragging about the fact that he's computer illiterate and won't, you know, quit being an old fart, an old fuddy-duddy, okay, Humper? It's that once you get into it, man, I don't know how you could live without it.
Right. Maxon will hook him up. They're nice people.
There you go.
And they're easy to use.
And like when you're going on vacations, I go to Europe 4 or 5 times a year, and you go to anywhere you go now. You've got all these internet cafes.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there, and Josh would like that. You go and get a Dunkin' Donut and some coffee.
Yeah.
I passed on those donuts, boy. I saw those, and I just flew away from that crap. And then you sit down, and you get a little card that's got a thing with a number on it, and you just tap that in there, and it's by time, you know, hour and a half, depending on how much shekels you put in there.
I heard a lot of places in Amsterdam are like that.
As a matter of fact, yeah, right. As a matter of fact, Mad Dog was talking about that yesterday in Reykjavik, the same thing. How he was online reading the Herald and reading this and all this other crap. All over the world. So get with it, Humper. Anyway, a 24-year-old software engineer at America Online Inc. was arrested yesterday on federal charges that he hacked into the company's computers to steal 92 million email addresses that were later sold and used to bombard AOL members with spam. Now, I noticed lately I'm getting spam up the old
rectum,
which is not good for your roids, by the way. But and I don't have AOL. Do you think it's just a coincidence?
No, it's a maintenance thing. Like I have Yahoo, and you have to stay on top of it, marking the things that you come in that are spam as spam, and then you don't get that anymore.
I'm getting all these pop-up ads that are, and I have two. I have the Alexa and the Hotbot,
right?
The pop-up blockers,
yeah,
and
they
all of a sudden lately, for whatever reason, they're still popping in there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go to the Drudge Report because she's got pop-ups up the old chute, man. There's one in the middle of the screen and one in the bottom right. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Speaking of pop-ups.
Yes?
Your shoes down here just popped up.
Well, that's good. We'll keep them there.
your mall walkers. They look nice. I think I'm
they are nice.
Here.
They're great. Let me just do a little plug for and thanks to my friends at Brandy's. Thank you. And also to Berkeley, I guess. Must have brought him in.
Yes, she did.
Thanks, Berkeley. You're not as bad as we thought.
I'm going to wear out
close.
Your Velcro before you show up.
No, don't be messing with that Velcro, because each one, it's like everything else. It's like your heart. It can only beat so many times. Didn't you know that? Oh, no. You bastard, you. Shoot him, Josh. But since I knew I wasn't coming back there for a while, I went online, ordered me a pair of New Balance shoes with the Velcro, the walking shoes. And if you know your size, and then you can go online, it's just amazing now. It's like with Brandy's. You can go to that brandyshoes.com, and you can order any of that stuff right online. And so I went to New Balance Canada online and ordered some that were shipped here. I had them in 2 days. 2 days. And they are sensational. Fabulous. I think the day is coming, if this bush don't blow up the whole world first. The day is coming when we're going to be doing a whole lot of our things online. You know what?
Yeah, right.
I'm fortunate because this town has got 80 zillion bookstores, so if you want to go out and get the latest Clinton book or whatever book you want to buy, you don't have to worry about waiting a day or two. But if it's a book that's hard to find, you go on to Amazon.com, and bingo, it's in your mailbox in a day or two. Jason Smathers, who worked at the company, this is AOL's Dulles headquarters, is accused of illegally obtaining the email addresses of nearly all the Internet providers' customers in May 2003. Bastard. Smathers allegedly sold the names for $100,000 to Sean Dunaway, 21, who ran an Internet gambling business in Las Vegas, prosecutors said. Bastard. Dunaway then sold the list to unidentified spammers, bastards, who used it earlier this year to send millions of emails peddling herbal penile enhancement products, according to a criminal complaint filed in federal court in Southern District, New York, which comes back to the thing I was starting to ask yesterday. I interrupted myself. It was penis interruptus. Remember I was talking about Cialis and Viagra? How is it possible that in this country there are so many guys with limp penises wimping around?
Oh, that's easy.
What's the answer?
Have you seen the women?
Oh, that must be it.
Greg says hi. He just popped his head and said hi.
Hey, Greg. Go away, Greg. Okay, don't let us interfere when you're busy. I know you got a heavy agenda. We got to get Howard Stern on. We got to get the man cow on there as well. Let's see. Who else is? We got to get Pharrell back on here. Let's get Pharrell. I think we're going to get him as a sidekick on his show.
Yeah.
Making every obscene comment. Everything is going great, Greg. Everything is fine. We love you, especially the more you stay away, the more we love you, okay? The less we see you, the more we love you. How do you like that?
Live and local. We are Sports Radio 560 QAM.
And another thing, you're going to listen to me, you would have been a big star by now. With that little pipsqueak voice, how do you expect to get anywhere, you little puny puke? Can we say puke?
I think it's a
I don't even know anymore.
I don't want that 3,500 words. The more I hear you.
Yeah, what about it?
The more I hate you.
Hey, what do I care?
And when I hear you, I want to.
Smack you. I know my smell attracts you. But unlike Zach, you still got a job. I feel just like that you are my kid brother. And one year to another. That's why you are still not fired. I'm on a show and put you in a coma.
Absolutely.
And wait till it's over. All right, that's enough.
One more, come on. Thank you. Okay, here's the end result of this poll today. Not a good poll, I apologize for that. And you notice we're not getting a lot of polls suggested anymore, no faxes?
Yeah.
That's
well,
bad.
A tough one.
Huh?
All the good ones are on there.
We need a lot of polls suggested. Of course, I'm not going to be doing that many shows. So like I said, George needs. But, hey, you should have all kinds of pools.
Oh, yeah.
What current American political figure has the biggest pair of cojones? Who's got the big balls, baby? Michael Moore, 331.
Oh!
And his movie will be in a theater near you tomorrow.
Oh!
Unless it's a MovieCom, because, what is it, MovieCom?
MovieCo.
Oh, movie, whatever it is. MovieCon. Screw them. Michael Moore, 331. Janet Reno got a big pair, 71. George W. Bush, 58. Howard Dean, 42. Richard Clark, 28. Ted Kennedy, 21. Teeter Kennedy didn't make it. Al Gore, 15. Dennis Kucinich, 14. Al Sharpton has got a dozen. And everybody else, single digits. Russ Feingold, 8. Joe Biden, 6. He's biding his time. And Jesse Jackson's got 5. He's alive, and he's got 5. We don't hear too much about him anymore. No wonder we're in a good mood, you know?
Well, maybe he's going to go free some hostages.
Now, let's see. When's the first showing of Fahrenheit 9/11 tomorrow? Do you know? I don't want to start pushing my luck.
You know what time? The places that are showing it show it like as part of the regular schedule, if it's a weekday.
But like on a noon, something like that?
Thereabouts, right.
So I guess by Monday we should have calls up the old nose, right?
Right.
People have seen it. Mad Dog is coming up next. And by the way, Greg, Josh didn't pass this along, but I have my own spies. When he peeked his nose in the studio, he had Barry was on his shoulder.
Bye, bye, bye!
The Neil Rogers Show on 560 WQAM, Miami, Fort Lauderdale.